Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, and welcome to Five Smooth Stones Radio with Brother Seth, a place where the Hebrew Israelite can call home and where an awakening is taking place from the four corners of the earth. Five Smooth Stones with Brother Seth have compelling and informative programming during the week, starting with, on Sundays at 11:30 p.m., Proof of Biblical Hebrews 101, Tuesdays at midnight, Racial Matters and Solutions, Thursdays at midnight, New World Watch Society, and around out the week on Saturdays, the International Israelite Forum. Check back with Five Smooth Stones for specific times, and all shows are on Central Standard Time. I'm Brother Bobby, a.k.a. Victim 2 Victorious, and these shows have been a blessing to me, and I'm sure they'll be a blessing to you. So come check out Brother Seth here at Five Smooth Stones Radio, where your mind will be expanded, your spirit challenged, and the peace of the Most High reigns supreme. Shalom.
Amen, amen, amen. That's right. Listen, listen, listen. It is all about how much we can hear, how much we can hear, how much of the Spirit can we hear so that we may follow that Spirit and so that that Spirit may lead us to deliverance. So anyway, folks, this is host Brother Seth. It's Five Smooth Stones. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Another day that the Lord has made, or should I say another day that the Most High has made. So I just want to thank everybody for stopping by. You didn't have to. You could have been doing so many other things with your time, with your mind. And I will never be unappreciative to my brothers and sisters that show us love over here at Five Smooth Stones. So anyway, we are Five Smooth Stones, located at www.blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. I say that every single show for a reason. That reason is because a lot of people, for whatever reason, get the phone number, either by me or either by a friend, and they're calling on a cell phone, and they are not at a computer. They have no idea what the page looks like or where it's at. So this is why we always say where we're located. So again, it's www.blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. Once you get to that page, I want to encourage everybody to please check out the website. Check out the website. Check out the website. Check out the website. We have a brand new website, and it's in its infancy, and we're very proud of it. There's a lot of things we're going to put on it, so it's not quite where it needs to be. But I did load a lot of videos, very important videos. I did put some things on the site, so y'all might have went by, you know, last week, and there wasn't anything on there. But now, there's quite a bit, podcasts as well as audio and even, I think, some pictures. So check it out. And you'll have to become a member first. It's only a few questions. You don't have to give correct information or private information. Just y'all know what to do. Y'all been joining all type of sites out there. But I do want you to join. We have a way to contact each other, where we'll have a way to strengthen each other, iron sharpening iron. A lot of y'all out there are, you feel what we're talking, what we talk about here over at Five Moonstones. You feel what we share. You know this to be truth. You know that we need to deal with racism. We need to deal with it in a way that's very uncomfortable. We need to talk about who are the true Israelites. Bible prophecies is not going to make sense until the true Israelites are revealed. You understand those five smooth stones that we talk about, or the five topics or the five subjects we talk about over and over again. You understand the whole question of the Israelites. You understand the one world government, how somebody needs to expose this one world order, a new world order. What does it mean to us every day? What does it mean to our everyday life? What is it about our everyday life we need to change? How are we strengthening these evil people that's trying to set up a kingdom very similar to the one we serve, the one we're part of? You understand that. Some of y'all got that down packed. You're with me on that, okay? Some of y'all understand white supremacy, racism, as I just said. I think I mentioned it already. Some of y'all understand leprosy. You heard the series. You listened to at least three programs. And you know Brother Seth is far, far, far from being from being a racist. He is simply trying to put the truth out there. And some of y'all are just on board with it. Okay, if you're on board with all those things, it's very important when you come across information that you have people, a network of people, some of your comrades, if you will, that you can exchange this information. Some of y'all coming across stuff that I need. As a matter of fact, I see that I Am Epic is in the house, as well as Saladin, my good Muslim brother. Assalamu alaikum to you, and shalom, and hello, and greetings to I Am Epic and everybody else, the guests. Thank y'all for coming by, and people on the phone lines. Remember, those of you on the phone lines, if you have a question, it is vital you press 1, okay? I won't know you have a question unless you press 1. If you press 1 on your phone, on my board here, it tells me you got your hand up. Now, I don't always look at this particular page. I'm going to try to tonight, but it may be a minute, but I will get to you, okay? Now, those of you in the chat room that have a question, just simply type it out, and I'll get to it. I'm going to be looking at monitoring the chat room because tonight, Saladin. Tonight, I want to know what's on y'all's mind. Racism, racial matters, and solutions is what we're talking about tonight. We do it every Tuesday night. We're talking about racial matters and solutions. Not just racial matters, but solutions. Okay? The biggest giant, without a doubt, the biggest bully, without a doubt, to socialism in our world has got to be, if not the biggest bully, for sure one of them, is this thing called racism. It is international. It is in every aspect of life. Wherever there are people and wherever there is a brain, there is these lies and deception and ignorance, this false teaching of white supremacy / black inferiority, or you could say it like this, white supremacy / non-white inferiority. It's as real as you and I are right now talking. So I have this blog on Tuesdays to address this giant, to try eat away at his feet, eat away at his toes, to where we can get him to tumble and fall. You don't have to just attack the whole giant. He's too big. But we can just dismount the toes, and hopefully we can get him to fall. But we got to deal with truth. And we got to deal with things that make people uncomfortable. If you got people feeling uncomfortable, saying crazy stuff, is a good chance you're on the right road. Not that you want people doing that, but emotions fly when you're talking about the truth. When you're just skirting around, just avoiding issues, people ain't going to be honest. They ain't going to tell you the truth. They're going to hide their feelings every time. Okay? You get white people upset. You get black folks upset. You get some enemies. You're probably dealing. You're going to have some enemies if you're part of the solution. You're going to have some haters if you're a part of the solution. If you're going to be effective in this world, many people have said this, and I believe them, that you're going to have some haters. You're going to have people that hate your guts, because that's just the way it is among the wicked and the righteous. There are some people that ain't going to never, ever like you. If everybody like you, please let me know that ahead of time so I will not befriend you, because there is something wrong with everybody like you, because it just goes against everything we know. It's not good. Something obviously is wrong if everybody like you. So anyway, tonight, racial matters and solutions, open forum. It is strictly your show. Those of you on the phone line, tonight is your show. I Am Epic. It's your show tonight. Saladin, it's your show tonight. Please, I want to hear from y'all. What do y'all think of the shows we've talked about so far? We've talked about a lot of things. We've talked about white privilege versus Yah's or Yahweh's or the Most High or Allah, Allah's grace. So when we say Allah, we say Yah, we say the Most High, we're talking about the same person, y'all, okay? Don't flip out. I mean, y'all think Allah is a different God. Allah is the same God of the Old Testament. I don't know where Pogo got off thinking a lot, some foreign god like a lot of Christians think. So ignorant. But anyway, white privilege versus Yahweh's grace. We've talked about black self-hate. Thank you, my brother, Saluddin. We talked about church racism. We've talked about how black people are oppressed in every area of life, every single area of life. We're at the so-called bottom. Why is it? We talked about why or how white people come into power, how the 8% of the world controls the 92% of the world, what's behind it, who's behind it. We talked about how the Most High in the scriptures very clearly talks about how he would use one people to put down another people, put down meaning take control over. And basically it goes like this, that the wicked is supposed to serve the righteous. Why shouldn't the wicked serve the righteous? If the wicked is going to be tearing up the earth, tearing up their own body and their own society, and they're going to be confusing morals and just taking us backwards as a human family, why wouldn't the wicked be somewhere needing to be in shackles or being controlled? Because they're wicked. So slavery is needed as long as there's the wicked. Shackles has its, maybe not shackles, physical shackles like animals, but what I'm saying is when people make a decision to go against the Most High, then you're going to have things like wars. You say, why does there have to be war? Because there's wicked people. Why do we have to have guns? Because there's wicked people. Why do we have to have all of these systems like jails and prison? That's not the Most High's will. But when you have wicked people, what are you going to do with them? I mean, for real, what are you going to do with somebody say, I'm bent on killing you? What are you going to do with them? You going to let them just walk around? So I'm saying, no, it's not his will to have these things. But we find an earth full of these things to contain the wicked. So is slavery. Wicked is supposed to serve the righteous. Israel was the apple of the Most High's eye at one point in Scripture. But they turned their back on him. And he told them because in Amos 3 and 2, the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 2, he said, of all the nations of the earth, you have I known. Of all the nations of the earth, you have I known. Of all the nations of the earth, you have I known. Therefore, I will punish you for all your transgressions. So in other words, he said, I open myself up to you. It don't mean like I know you, your name. It's deeper than that. Known is almost have a, the word know is to know somebody intimately. When you hear, like it says, and Adam knew Eve and they had a son, it is almost sexual, the word know. Adam knew Eve and then they had a son. Right after they said, and Adam knew Eve and Seth was born, like my name. And Adam knew Eve and Cain was born. And Adam knew Eve and Abel was born. So it's intimate. The Bible says, again, the scripture says, Amos 3 and 2, of all the nations of the earth, you have I known. He opened up the Red Sea for this people. He showed himself to this people in terms of his character. So, Israel is supposed to have it better than any other nation on the planet if they obey, because the Most High started out with them. And it's all because of Father Abraham. Now, when Israel disobeyed the Most High, Israel is supposed to suffer and be servants to the entire planet. So this is why you have the state of African American. This is why you have the state of the Untouchables in India. This is why you have the state of the Limba tribe in South Africa. This is why you have the state of oppression in East Africa. This is why you have the situation in Ethiopia. A lot of those people are just Israelites. They're really our cousins, Solomon and Queen of Sheba's descendants, but this is why you have certain people that's been scattered at the four corners, living out certain prophecies in the Bible that Israel is supposed to live out, these specific, unique problems that's only going to be unique to this people. Everybody have problems, every nation, every people. But no, these problems are going to be specifically curtailed to Israel. Specific things are going to happen to this people. So, tonight, we're talking about racism. Racism. And the way we here at Five Smooth Stones define racism is the philosophy, the teaching, the notion that whites, white people, white nations, white institutions, white churches, white thought, white guessing is superior to non-white. That's one side of the coin. Then when you flip that coin over, the other side of the coin is black inferiority, or black inferiority. In other words, non-white people believing, or anybody believing that non-white people is superior. One person can believe all of this. One person can walk around and believe that whites is superior, blacks is inferior. A lot of black people are some of the biggest white supremacists in the world. You don't have to have white people around to believe this philosophy. It's just someone that believes the philosophy that white people are superior, think superior, superior, every single thing about them. The teachings, I hate to say it, but a typical American, a typical person raised in America is going to be most likely a white supremacist, unless they really are educated, went to a very... unless they really was educated by their parents and going to a really good college where they talked about the true history of the world. But all history, most of our teachings, I can almost say 90% of it, of these schools and colleges and universities and even street corners, is pushing the philosophy of white supremacy. It is no shock that non-white people are in a subservient position to a lot of whites because they have swallowed, digested, and it is now a part of them, the philosophy, the ideology, the foolishness of white superiority. What are we talking about? Right now I'm in a definition or defining mode, so bear with me, because sometimes we just go too fast on this show, and I don't know if everybody's with me when I say what white supremacy, what exactly does that mean? But again, it's not something that where you just have to have white people around. You don't have to have one white person around. In black, in certain parts of Africa, where there's very little white people, there is the philosophy of white supremacy. All they have to do is leave a Bible with a lot of white images, with Jesus looking white, with the angels looking white, the prophets looking white, which is a lie. Anytime you have a lie, you're going to have retardation growth, mental retardation, whenever there is a lie. You tell me a lie, I'll tell you the retardation that's going to come with it. Anytime you don't have truth, you're not going to see something right, and oppression, somebody's going to be oppressed by that lie. A lie always causes some kind of way, sooner or later, somebody to be oppressed. So we're talking about the lie of white supremacy every single Tuesday. Before I jump into this hard and heavy, I can feel it coming on. It's going to be a good show, y'all. So thank y'all again for stopping by. We're about to start swinging. And at the enemy. Now there are no people. We ain't this ain't no show we dogging out white people. Y'all got the wrong show. This is not that show. We believe in love for all people. High, high respect for the human race. Every single person. Okay? Let me just go ahead and hear a word for one of our sponsors, and we're going to go ahead and jump right into it after this. All right?
Shalom. My name is Kingdom.
I am a website designer, and I want to thank you for listening to our Smooth Stone Radio. If you need a website for your business, your ministry, or just personal, you can go to practicalwebsolution.com. That is practicalwebsolution with no S, .com. Or you can call me for a free consultation at 954-372-7469. That is 954-372-7469. And I want to thank you all for listening to Five Smooth Stone Radio, where the truth of the biblical Hebrews are being brought forth during these last days, where Israel, the Israelites of the Bible, are awakening from amnesia to its true identity. The Hebrews of the Bible, which are called the Israelites, or so-called modern-day Negroes, all the lost tribes of Israel, which are scattered all over this planet. Come join Brother Seth on a weekly basis right here, on Blog Talk Radio, as he embark on a challenging journey to assemble the lost tribe of Israel, God's chosen people. Yes, the Israelites are God's chosen people. And we are going to go back to our land. There will never be peace in the Middle East till God's chosen people are back in the land. Shalom, shalom.
And I'll play that until I die. I'll say that until I die. There will be no peace in the Middle East until this history is told right. It's a misfit. It's trying to put a shoe on the wrong foot. That's what you got in the Gaza Strip. It is never going to be peace. It don't make sense that the Most High would tell a people, go and take this land from the Palestinians and displace these people and think that everything's going to be all right. It's never what the scripture says. But when this become household knowledge, when the whole world know who true Israel is, the fight just going to dissolve. How are you going to be president of something that if the whole world know is not yours? We'll siege that place without bloodshed. A remnant of us will be begged to come because everybody want to be nice to the ancient people of the book who the Most High started out with and who he's going to end with, because the Bible says so. It's prophetic that a remnant, a small portion of the real Israelites in the latter times, going to return. Anyway, y'all support Sister Kingdom. She's doing a lot. Jumping into the chat room here real quick. Saladin is making some very sharp comments. And one thing he said was Dr. Amos Wilson said that in order for us blacks to be in a situation where we are in, we must have been insane. One more time. Dr. Amos Wilson, the late Dr. Amos Wilson. This man wrote a book called Black on Black Crime. I think that book put him on the map. He went into the psyche of young black people, young black males like nobody else have, talking about why these young men are committing these crimes, the black-on-black crimes. If anybody want to know why young black males would go and put a gun to an older black woman and rob her, and that is really insane, read Dr. Amos Wilson's book called Black-on-Black Crime. Anyway, Dr. Amos Wilson, Dr. Amos Wilson said that in order for us blacks to be in the situation we're in, we must have been driven insane. And there is a criminal mentality pervading in the white community to precipitate such insanity among us. His brother continued to type. As y'all say, I'm telling y'all, I got to check out this chat room. We get a lot of things. I'm sure I am Epica get warmed up here. She always has something to say and all. And we got several guests here, not to look over y'all, But Saladin also said, let's see, he said, as you said, we must be insane to support and maintain racism, white supremacy, even when racism, white supremacy is not around us. That's right. Yeah, it's insanity or it's foolishness. But we're intelligent people now. So I think philosophy of white supremacy is foolish and insanity. But we're acting the way we're supposed to act when we hear something. We're brilliantly, we're acting brilliantly with what our bodies is doing, what it's supposed to do, our mind is doing what it's supposed to do when we hear something, when we hear a lie. When you hear a lie, you're supposed to go crazy. You're supposed to self-destruct. I mean, people not crazy people for going and killing up a lot of people, but actually to kill up a lot of people is stupid. I mean, it's not stupid. It's wrong. It's a sin. It's not some I recommend in a billion years. But why people kill is always a reason. And in their mind, it just makes sense to do it. For instance, if you thought people was going to kill you, some crazy people actually think that people are going to kill them. That's why lions attack you. The lion perceive fear in you. They see you're scared of them, and they don't know what you're going to do. They know you are afraid. So those lions don't know that they feel endangered. Even though you're running from them and scared to death, they feel endangered. A lot of people think lions just attack you because they're afraid. They see you fear. They feel you're weak to them. No, it ain't like that. They feel threatened. All animals feel threatened when they feel fear. So they attack you. They attack first. So we are acting brilliantly to what we've been told. We are brilliantly, as the scripture says, here's the Bible says, like, my people are wise to do evil. So in other words, if somebody kept telling you every day that you're ugly, you're ugly, you're ugly, your mind is brilliant, and it gets the information. It processes the information that I'm ugly. So it begins to tell the body to act ugly. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. That's what you're supposed to do. It's just that we ain't supposed to be hearing no lies. We ain't supposed to be told we ugly. We ain't supposed to be told white supremacy. We're supposed to be told what the Most High say. Every single word that come out of his mouth, that's what we need. And then we'll act according to that information. And that's when we become like him, little tiny Elohim, so little tiny gods. We become powerful. Not to be worshipped like he is. I'm not talking about that kind of, but I mean, we become imitators. As the scriptures say, be imitators of God as dear children. We become, once we get truth, we live as God. Remember Christ said he was stoned. He was going to be stoned because he was talking about what I'm talking about right now. He said, we're not going to stone you. The Pharisees, Sadducees said, we're not going to stone you for doing good works. We're going to stone you because you, being a man, said you are God. And then Christ went on to say, didn't you hear how David said the same thing, that we are gods? But if we don't obey, we're going to perish as mere men. See, people don't want to talk about that. You hardly ever hear it talked about, but we are supposed to be even higher than men. We're supposed to be as gods. Men is what we are when we just mere mediocre. We're supposed to be like God. That means imitators of the Most High. Not nowhere near his status. Don't get me wrong, folks. Please don't misquote me and say, Brother Seth, next week we equal to. No, I'm saying he's an ocean. We are drop, but we are 100% for sure both water. I'm just talking about being water. He is an ocean. We are drop, but we both for sure are water. That's what I mean when I use the concept of God or Elohim. So, white supremacy, the lie, the lie of white supremacy, the erasing of true history, the inserting of lies, burning down libraries all across the world. When they come out of the caves of Europe, having left Africa as albinos, white people became a mighty nation. And what made them mighty is nothing of their own. What made them mighty was the Most High called them to do the things they do. How do you know? You just a guy talking on a blog show. You don't know. You don't know. You're just guessing. No, I do know. In the book of Jeremiah, very first chapter, the Most High, speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, talks about how he is going to judge Israel. And not just Israel, but the whole planet. And that he is going to empty out the northern countries. What's north of Israel? What is north of Israel? Europe. He said he would empty out, and he used the word A-L-L, all the nations of the north on that land. That's your Bible. But it ain't just Jeremiah. It's so many prophecies saying that it ain't funny. Out of the north, one coming, a wicked one coming out of the north, a mighty nation coming out of the north, a whirlwind coming out of the north, out of the north, out of the north. Look at a globe. The north part of the globe, if you look at a globe, the north part of the globe dominates the south. Poverty is in the south part of the globe. You ever notice that? Look at a globe. The second bottom part serves the top part. Bible says, a wicked nation coming out of the north. Woe, he coming from the north, the north, the north. Even Satan himself said he would live in the sides of the north. This is old teaching. We talked about this in the previous archives, by the way, while I'm at it. Y'all, please, and that's not to say everybody come from the north is wicked. Don't go there. That ain't what I'm saying. I'm just saying that the Most High called the people out of the north, okay? And it wasn't because they was righteous. They was just like Israel and anybody else. They was just as wicked. Israel was wicked and rebellious. They was wicked and rebellious, the people. But the Most High called them because they wasn't a nation. They was like a new nation that he called. They didn't have no ancient past. These people come from Africa, from all kind of families. They all mixed from different African nations, albinos, coming together, migrating up north that was better for their condition, having no pigmentation. Folks, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know this. How would we have become the different colors? I don't want to get off on this. This is what I call the leprosy teaching, Bible leprosy, when we go off into what exactly is Bible leprosy. I don't want to make today's topic that. Y'all got to go back and listen to the archives on Bible leprosy. Listen to the Bible leprosy archives. I go off into how we are truly one family. We are truly one family. I go off into it, and I guarantee you what you're going to find there, you're not going to find very many places. Not very many people want to talk about this. So I'm telling you, go to the archives and listen to Bible leprosy. But tonight, we're talking about racial matters and solution. Racial matters and solution. Let's read some more comments from the chat room. All right, last thing they would say was very few people in the world have the courage to challenge the white community for their inherent evil practices and thoughts that are coming from their community. That's true. That's true. Then another comment, you are offering constructive criticism, so people should try to accept what you're saying in a good faith because you mean all people well, including whites. To redirect whites from evil patterns because it, to redirect whites from their evil patterns because if they do not repent as a people, as we must all do, the road to hell is very broad, but the road to salvation is very narrow. Very true. And you know what I've learned? A lot of white people, so-called white people, I hate that word white people because nobody is white, nobody is black. We have very different levels of pigmentation, but when you group people up by saying white, it's kind of foolish because white people come from black people. I mean, it's crazy. I don't know what we're going to call each other, but it's just crazy because white skin comes from black skin. When you see somebody with vitiligo and they're losing their pigmentation and they lose all of their pigmentation, what color are they up on all that black? They're white. It's simple. I mean, two black people in Africa give birth to a whiter than white people baby with blonde hair and blue eyes. So what really is white people? I'm telling y'all, it's a weak argument. They get some, find something else to say and do. That's why you can never call me a racist. You never can call it me a racist. I may get frustrated with so-called white people. I may get irritable at their foolishness and their hatred, but I'll never, ever, ever hate something that's your own self. And this question is talking about, I think, from Neanderthals and all this stuff. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. Again, we produce white-skinned people. What y'all going to say about that? How you going to, let's just say if it was true about the whole Neanderthal, that's, you know, with some white people, that's their true origin. How you going to know who Neanderthal or not? So you might as well just drop that foolishness because, you know, you don't know. But you do know for sure because you see it out of your own eyes that we are producing albinos. And if you're from India and you have the hair like white people off the hair, I mean, of course, white people had their hair first, but I'm just saying, if you have the hair like white people and you like live in India somewhere or you're Ethiopian, you have the kind of hair like, you know, just the flowing, I call it the blowing in the wind hair, and then you have an albino, you won't be able to tell them from anybody else. So, anyway, Iceman prophecies, that's true, Saladin, absolutely. Okay, and by the way, that's Salah Houdin. Y'all got to know who Salah Houdin is. Salah Houdin is actually with Saladin, if I'm pronounced right. And connect with my brother if I'm saying this right. But Saladin was the one person that finally put an end to the Crusades. This was a conqueror, a bad boy that come up out of, I don't know where exactly with his history, but that Saladin put an end to those crusaders coming from Europe, and he defeated them. And that's why Israel to this day is not under the control of the crusaders. By a guy by the name of Saladin. And this brother, this is where he get his name from. So he called himself Salah Houdin. Anyway, and we got a lot of brothers and sisters like Sister I Am Epic that stop by, and they are just... Man, these people, Saladin was a Kurd, he just informed me. But you got a lot of sisters like I Am Epic stop by, and lots of people, I won't mention their names, but that stop by and have said, Brother Seth, I'm with you, I hear your heart. Because when you start talking about stuff like leprosy, and you're saying that white skin is a or one type of Bible leprosy, that is about as harsh a teaching as I have ever heard. That's why I fought that teaching so much. Y'all just don't know how long I fought leprosy. I thought the brother that shared with me, brothers that shared with me, people that shared with me, was racist. So I kept blowing it off. But you know, the truth crushed to the ground, it ain't going to do them but keep on rising. If you don't believe it, not a problem. The next generation will get it. If that generation don't get it, not a problem. The next generation going to get it. But truth, it never dies because you just got to line up with truth. You just got to line yourself up with truth. It's just not going to go anywhere. It's just one of those things you just got to know. Anyway, so tonight again, folks, we're talking about what we always talk about on Tuesday night, and that is racial matters and solutions. And tonight is open forum. We're just kind of just not hitting on no certain thing. I actually want to hear. I'm doing a lot of reading from the chat room. I'm also monitoring the phone lines. Anybody have a question or comment, just press 1. I see y'all are there. You must be listening. That's fine. Anybody have a question or comment? Tonight is the night to ask, especially where it is related to racism. Some of y'all, I know a lot of black people are going through hell on these jobs. I know everybody going through some, but I mean a lot of us are going through extra stuff with this racism on the jobs. You may want to comment and just let people know that this is real. And Brother Seth ain't just sitting up living in the past, just blaming the white man. This is so not a blame the white man show. It ain't even funny. So, but we here just trying to get a handle on, try to get an understanding on why this old giant is still around, just dividing and conquering and dividing and conquering people, this lie of white supremacy, why they're still hating on Africa, why they still don't want to give mama, grandma, her dues. And you know, Africa is mama, grandma. She is the mother of everything. Everybody is from Africa. I don't care who you might have went a few other places after you left home, but believe you me, everybody belongs back at grandma and grandpa's house. So we all are from Africa. Somebody said, you are trying to destroy an evil system. And they are absolutely right. We are destroying an evil system. Brother Salahuddin, you actually have made some of the most destructive comments against the forces of darkness that I've seen on in any chat room. So it ain't just Brother Seth. I told y'all tonight is everybody's talk show tonight. Anybody can chime in. All right, just as long as we don't deal with racism, because that's we're at this giant feat, and we're trying to take out one toe at a time. Eventually, if we can get that big toe cut off, that giant gonna fall. We don't have to attack every single inch of the giant. We just got to get the feet. Keep hitting at the feet because feet are made of clay anyway. that's what Daniel saw in his prophecy. So we're just going to keep eating at the feet, just eating at the feet, and eventually this whole thing going to fall in the hearts of the people that hear this show either tonight or through the archives. And I mean that. I expect that. I think the brothers and sisters in the chat room and the phone lines have enough of the Father inside of them, enough of the Spirit of the Father inside of them, to where when they speak these words, they will be a flame to the kingdom of darkness. I just believe that. It's never been about Brother Seth. I ain't that savvy. I don't have it going on like that. I need y'all. I really do. So again, while I'm at it, while it's on my mind, I just said I need y'all. Please, people, go to the website. First, go to blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. That's 5 smooth stones. 5 smooth stones. Don't forget the underscore, not a dash, but an underscore. Go to the website that you're going to see a link to. Go to the website direct address is www5, spell it out, F-I-V-E, 5smoothstones.webs.com. Go there, and y'all are really going to see some stuff on leprosy. You're really going to see some videos that's going to break this down even further. Go to the website and become a member where we can kind of keep in touch with each other. All it's going to ask you is a few questions. Y'all, really, let's make this website a success. What I mean by success is a place where we're exchanging information, where we're getting more sharper. I know what I'm talking about. When we talk about 5 smooth stones, we talk about 5 subjects. I know those subjects. I've been talking about them for over 20 years. 20 years I've been sharing this message. 5 topics. I know what I'm talking about, but I study and I get more ammunition. I need more ammunition for when I'm trying to share to someone else. It's when you try to share with people, that's where you run into trouble, because everybody didn't hear the spirit like you heard it. That's personal. Everybody don't see things as the way I see it. So you have got to give them more ammunition. Some people don't want to hear from the Bible at all. You mention a book of the Bible, you lost them. They ain't hearing a word you're saying. So you have to take science and hit them right in the mouth, so to speak, or hit the enemy in the mouth. So you got to prove it another way. You got to come at them another way. And that's what I try to do. So this is why we need this website. I want y'all to listen to me. I'm Brother Seth, this serious. We need the website so that we can iron sharpen iron. Y'all going to be dropping videos. Brother Seth, did you check out this video? And while I'm at it, I am epic. You know, you got something to share with me. Don't forget what you got to share with me, sister, because you had some major you wanted to drop on me. Do not forget that. But like she has something to drop on me, I don't know what it is, but she says she has something to talk to me that may be beneficial. What we want to do is share information just like that with each other. And I'll sharpen it, I'll get sharper, and I'll be able to say things a lot faster, a lot clearer, with more love, a different angle that might be less offensive but just as powerful. And this is what we do around these five topics. Okay, it's just that simple, and we're building the kingdom of the Most High as we do it this way. Let me go ahead and go to the phone lines. We do have a question or a comment. Area code 868. You're on the air. Go ahead. What's your comment or question?
Shalom, my good brother. This is Brother Salahuddin. Thank you for the very kind comments. And thanks,
hey,
Sister
Brother Epic.
Thank you, brother. If I may make a comment again, I'm really humbled by the statements that you've made. I'm very touched, and I am very honored to know you and to be part of your show. I think this is, you know, I have been ill for the last month, and so I haven't been to work. I've been home, and you know, I listened to several shows, and yours is by far one of the best shows. I sense the sincerity in you. And But I just want to make a comment, excuse me, about the you know, the impact of racism, white supremacy, as you said, on a personal level, interpersonally. And I know we use the word racism a lot, but I think when identifying the behavior that people who have, it's that supremacist attitude of, as though, particularly when I interact with some white people, as you said, many blacks who have absorbed or been conditioned to socialize by this culture, which has been handed down, as Joy DeGlue-Leary said about post-traumatic slave disorder, and then we had, you know, of course, segregation, apartheid, but it affects us intergenerationally, and it's passed down so to us. But the attitudes that whites have, or people who believe that they know you, and I think that's what hurts the most. And I talk about the pain, the spiritual, psychological, emotional pain of being a victim, like Neely Fuller Jr. said, of racism, white supremacy. To be a person of value, to be a good person, and be treated as though you're bad or evil by everyone. You know, it's like living in the twilight zone. You know, you go to school, you pray. You know, you worship God, and then people, particularly you would assume, who were enlightened, who had insight, who were intelligent, as you said, treat you in this very stupid fashion as though you're bad, you're evil. I've met white people, you know, I have several degrees, and, you know, whatever, I went to school, I served in the American military, but when I encounter some white people, all they can do is think of what they see on television. They can't see me. They're thinking, okay, well, black people are criminals. All these propaganda, black people are bad, black people are evil. But what even precedes the propaganda on television is that embedded in the European culture, they associate black with evil. You know, it's really that basic and that primitive. I remember, the writer James Baldwin was giving a lecture in England, and he was talking about, well, in the Chinese culture, You know, as Westerners, when they go to mourn, they wear black. It's considered, you know, doom and gloom is black. But in China, when they go to funerals, they wear white. They associate that with death and gloom. So again, it's not factual, their perception. This is all cultural, and because of the power that they have acquired in the European community, they have projected or spread their culture as being fact throughout the world. And people are not questioning it again because most of us behave and respond to it as though, you know, might is right. So, you know, because of the, well, some people think their understanding of God is that anyone who is in power is of God. That's wrong. You know, God says, particularly in the Christian Bible, you know, small g, the god of this world, you know, the devil's minions will be dominant on this planet. And who are those who are dominant on this planet? Who have been? And we acknowledge these are the end times. Again, we're not saying that white people are devils. As I told you before, I'm married to a white woman, a Jewish woman. But, you know, we have these discussions. And, you know, she has come, in fact, it's fearful because she accepts the truth, the reality of the truth. We understand the world is based on lies and the people who are the purveyors of those lies. But we don't see, okay, we talk about what's happened to us as black people. But, you know, I spoke to Neely Fuller Jr. He said, you know, like when somebody commits a crime, like you investigate, like you have forensics criminologists who study the mentality of the criminal and try to understand. So, yes, we talk about us as victims, but how many people are really explicating, like I know Frances Cress Wilson in her book, you know, ISIS Papers, have made even an attempt to try and understand the mentality of those who are the racist white supremacists. And as you said, those who are collaborating with them and supporting, but they're victims. We understand, like the Stockholm Syndrome, people tend to identify with the oppressor. You know, so to some degree, even those, the most obnoxious black people and non-whites that I encounter, I don't hold them too much accountable. Just one more thing, that I remember you were talking to a white male.
Take your time. I'm enjoying listening to you.
Thank you, brother. That you were talking to a white male, and I tried to get in. And again, interpersonally, I sensed the dynamic of, like Tim Wise, who wrote the book, you know, White Like Me. He said, you know, black people talk. And even I was listening to, it's not even what he was saying. It was his attitude towards you. He was supremacist. They assume they're smarter than you. Even when you're trying to talk to them about your pain, they don't have the humility, many of them. It's embedded in the culture. They don't have the humility to listen to you. As I put in the chat room, as you said, and it was very, very astute, there's something wrong with the people in a culture that's generating a certain mentality when they love their dogs more than they love black people. There's something wrong with that. You know, but nobody, again, because might is considered to be right, and we respond to power, you know, instead of truth, instead of ideals, instead of values. I want to
interject here. This brother mentioned two names, and I don't know if they are the ones that help him be able to see this thing as clear as he sees. Because this brother, reason why I'm letting it just go on and on, because he has a very clear, and I'm not just trying to stroke ego, so I don't have time for that. But he mentioned two names that I know has contributed to some of what he's saying. Neely Fuller Jr., folks.
Most of
y'all
what I'm saying.
Write that name down. Y'all got to write that name down. Frances Cress Wilson met this brother called Neely Fuller Jr. Y'all saying, who is Neely Fuller Jr.? Neely Fuller Jr. is a guy that wrote a book about two of the victims of white supremacy. The book is called, let me just make sure I got the right name. I know it's Textbook for Victims of White Supremacy or something like that. It's called United Independent. I just had it. United Independent Code. Help me out with the title of my book. Oh, here it is. The United Independent Compensatory Code. United Independent Compensatory Code. And it's talking about, this guy wrote actually a code against white supremacy. In other words, for everything that a white supremacist, be they black or white, because they don't have to be white, when they say something that is full of white supremacy, whoever they are, white or black or whoever, he has a response that you have. It's just a safe way to that will help the white supremacist. If you just stick with the book, it's a thick book. And when they say this, you say that. When they say this, you say that. When they do this, you do that. And it's not violent. It's not degrading to whites or blacks or whoever come with this craziness. But it's just truth for the lie that they say. It's just truth for the lie that they say. And Francis Crest Wilson was so moved by just him and all his teachings, not just his book, but just what he taught. She wrote a page called The ISIS Paper. And that page, that book is what made her, I think that was her, when you go to get your PhD, now you will have to write a, help me out, what's the name?
A dissertation.
Right, it was her dissertation, and that dissertation put her on the map. She's been on all type of talk shows because she hit the thing on the head after listening to Neely Jr. Neely Jr. Fuller. Y'all got to get that book. I bought it, and I don't know what happened to it. Some of the people bought that book, and it's just something. It really, you don't even know how much you are a white supremacist. I'm talking about everybody listening right now. You don't know how much you're a white supremacist. You're born in America, you're full of it. I'm telling you, I'm sorry, just the truth. I mean, how would you have learned to be black? Where would you learn to be proud and black at? Even February ain't good enough to erase all of the self-hatred we have just because we learned a few inventions in February. We are white people trying to be black. We are white supremacists. I shouldn't say white people because that's a people. I take that back. We are white supremacists because that's not a color. That's a philosophy. I take that back because I don't want to do any damage to the people calling themselves white. I want to do damage to the philosophy. We are white supremacists. That means people full of this lie, this deception, this foolishness that is taught all across the world. But anyway, this book is the combat that is called, again, it's by Neely Fuller Jr., Dr. Neely Fuller Jr. And again, you can go pick this up at any black bookstore. Sorry, I don't know if Barnes & Noble is going to be able to get this for you. Okay, I'm just keeping it real. But it's called the United Independent Compensatory Code and then it's /system/concept. This book is amazing. It is the biggest antidote outside the scriptures for white supremacy. I'd say it's number two behind the scriptures. Anyway, go ahead with what you were saying, but I just had to introduce those two people because a lot of people don't
thank
know
you.
Dr. Smith.
So, yes, I'm sorry for – yeah, thank you, brother. I'm sorry that I didn't expound upon that. But, just basically, as you said, that Mr. Neely, I spoke to him. I actually have his number. I don't know. And as a human being, I was so impressed. He was a person who is, you know, among certain circles is really well-known, even though the media – of course, this is white supremacist media, and they're not going to introduce anything that would undermine itself. So, but I spoke to him twice over the phone, and what a humble man, at length. And he's very generous with his time. He's a very, very humble person. He's an older man who's, you know, has been, you know, fought in World War II. You know, I think it was the Korean War, but he's a mature man and very, you know, focused, and he's made some. Yes, I'm sorry.
But Salahuddin, check this out. Everybody, don't y'all listen to this. Neely Jr. Fuller worked for the government. He had one of the highest clearances in the country. So this ain't no thug. This is a well-rounded, law-abiding citizen. This man had a clearance. I forget exactly what part of the government it was, but I remember him talking about how that you just can't get this clearance even if you worked all your life. So in some parts of the government, so he was very smart man, but he dealt with white people. That
that was full of white supremacy, and it just troubled his spirit. He began to start studying history, and he came up with this book called this combat, I don't know what all you would call it, but anyway, y'all got to get the United Independent Compensatory Code System concept by Neely Fuller Jr. And while you're at it, if y'all just go to my front page right there at blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stone. If you go to that page, I have a link to my library. Actually, it's on the description page. Just bear with me here for a second, my brother. But
yes,
if y'all will go to the description page where it talks about the show, what we're about, in the description page is a link to my library, and you can get that copy of that book. You can go straight to where to get that book. But anyway, go ahead with what you were saying, folks. But again, we're dealing with racial matters and solution. We're getting into the heart and soul of this philosophy. We're getting into the mechanics, the detail, intricate, tiny things that make up the what I call the feet of this giant. And if we can just dismount his feet, this whole thing going to fall. But go ahead, my brother. I'm really enjoying what you were saying.
No, yes, and what you're saying is so much, and the fact that this brother, as you said, he was in the military and he had, you know, he was a sergeant and he had a very high security clearance. And the point is that, again, as you said, to really qualify that this man is not just somebody who is a fly-by-night individual who is just talking or writes or expresses himself out of just pure emotion or reactionary behavior. You know, he really has, it's very scholarly, his book, and it's really a manual. It's very, it's not abstract. It's very concrete and practical on how to, because we hear people in the conscious black community, the conscious community, even others like Tim Wise, you know, who's a white man who is an anti-racist lecturer and activist. You know, Noel Ignatiev, we spoke about him before, who wrote a book called Race Traitor. He's a white man who is anti-racism activist. Farrah Winfrey, a female who is a white Southern Baptist Christian who is anti-racism. But again, they speak
Michael
in abstract
Bradley,
terms.
Michael Bradley,
Michael
Bradley,
Andrew Iceman,
Hatcher.
There's
so many white people that is just have made up their mind they're going to be on the right side. And you know what? I don't care if they make a little money doing so. Some people say, oh, they're just doing it for the money. Well, you know what?
God bless them.
Hey, if you preaching the truth and liberating people, I do not care if you get wealth in the meantime. It's just when you're preaching a lie, them the folks I'm after. But, yeah, there's a lot of white people that is really out here, and they don't care. They are putting the truth where it belongs. Go ahead, my brother.
Yes, brother, and thank you for that, you know, to complete that list. And I'm sure, and that's important for us to know, too, because there are those in the conscious community and who like I see the Hebrew Israelites stand on the corner, who are baiting white people, and they may get an emotional, as Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. said, may get an emotional kind of compensation for that. It may be emotionally uplifting for them to you know, express their anger, but it's not strategic, you know, because they're alienating people who may very well be our allies, and white people may very well be our allies in dismantling racism and white supremacy. You see them on YouTube, and I live in New York City, and in Times Square, these Hebrew Israelites, black Hebrews, as they call themselves, will call white people devils and call them names and insult them in the street. And they're white people who come from other countries. You know, New York City is a crossroad, particularly Times Square. And they go back to their countries, and they may have never had any animosity and may have actually had some compassion for the condition of black people in this country or black people in general. And their first impression of these black people, black Americans or black people in general, is being insulted by these individuals who say that they're looking for justice and they are being oppressed. So it's really rather backward. And I discourage people from, as you said, doing that, because we can't have allies. And also something very important that Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. pointed out in terms of racism and white supremacy, as you said, brother, and they think, well, this is just something that black people are talking about. Well, racism and white supremacy, it must be the basis for all of the other isms. You know, people will say, no, it's Marxism is the problem, it's capitalism, it's feminism, all of these isms, right? But what community do these isms come from? If it wasn't for the supremacism of the white supremacists, right, then we would not have worldwide, the capitalism would not be prevailing. Then feminism, what community did it come out of? What community did Marxism come out of? All of these other isms were generated or offshoots of racism, white supremacy. So that is the basis.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the premise of Francis Welsing's work, Francis Welsing's work called the ISIS paper. She says that the reason why we have white supremacy, one of the reasons, now I still say there's a spiritual reason for all of this, and that goes deep. I'm going to always go back to the prophecies and how the Most High called these people to do what they're doing. So, but we are analyzing why they're doing what they're doing just because the Most High called them. And I do believe he did that, honest. I believe that because of the rebellion of everybody, not just Israel. But what did they use to just go and conquer? Okay, the Most High may call him, but how do you just call the people from the north and they go and take land from folks that've got guns just like you got guns? You want to tell lies? They can tell lies too. I mean, white people ain't no evil than we are. I mean, we was before white people. When I say we, I shouldn't say that. I'm still learning how to say all this because we are white people. They come from us. But what I'm saying is early mankind did not have white skin as far as a nation. There was no white nations, anciently speaking. There was no white nations. Europe as a white nation is new. Before there was a white nation in Europe, there was the Grimaldis there and other black people there. There's been thousands and thousands of years of dark-skinned people all over the planet. They found all type of skeleton remains and all type of artifacts that prove what I'm saying. You go so far back in history, there are no white nations. There might be white people popping out here and there, but there were no white nations. So what I'm saying is evil can't come from white people. We started it all good, bad, and indifferent. What I'm saying is, so who is these people coming from the north? And what tactic is they using? Well, I believe that the Most High called them, and he allowed Satan to give them this philosophy of white supremacy. I do not believe white people are the author of white supremacy. I do not believe Willie Lynch. Willie Lynch is the author of Willie Lynch. I don't think Willie Lynch came up with that philosophy no more than I can fly. I think it was Satan. It was evil spirits. We live in a world where there are beings without bodies, and these things talk, and they have an old ancient fight going on that's far older than Europe. This is getting a little deep, but I'm just sharing with you. I'm gonna speed it up to the day. Yes, you're right. You're absolutely right, Saladin, about what you're saying. But I'm going back. I went back. Now I'm fast forwarded. So today, a scholar, scientist, if you will, social scientist by the name of Francis Quest Wilson, say white people are afraid of white genetic survival. They're afraid of white genetic annihilation. So they have to lie on white black people. They have to tell crazy lies about black people. Well, white people will be scared as hell to mix with black people. They have to make black people seem so evil and wicked, and just they have to present us as animals, or as Louis Farrakhan say, I'll borrow the words of him, they have to create us, have to make us a monster. And right. As he said, what do you want to do? What do everybody want to do to a monster? So Francis Cress Wilson, I believe, is right. The white supremacists are saying it. That's why they like Farrakhan, as far as his want to divide us. You know how Farrakhan wants his own land, he wants black folks to have their own land away from white people. That's why they like that, because they want a separate land. They want a separate, I'm talking about the white supremacists. They want a set, I'm talking about the hardcore, we all are white supremacists, that we have white supremacy that we have inside of us.
Well,
some
mm-hmm.
of us are getting free of it, but I'm talking about those that are full of white supremacy, those that's the militia and them people. They don't want us to mix. And this is why a lot of them people are not ignorant. I know a lot of them ignorant white with a gun, crazy, but a lot of them people are intelligent. They know who we are. And they know exactly what happened. Like I said, and I'm going to let you finish your point, but I just got to say this. They know that if we love and forget color and forget about race and do as Martin Luther King say, judge people on the basis of their character and not their color. What that spells for the white race, the so-called white race, there is no such thing as a white race based upon color, but everybody talk about it, so I'm just saying, the so-called white race, if we all love and forget color and forget racism and just forget this crap, we will annihilate white people. Not the soul of white people, but white skin. We will annihilate, we will destroy. There will be no white people if we all just started telling the truth about history, because black people are going to look so, they're going to look so different if they just tell the truth. The truth is, and I'm going to just give me 30 seconds. The truth is, everything started from dark colored, brown colored, dust colored people. You want to know what color that dust was? The Bible says, the Most High told Adam, dust thou art. Dust thou art, and dust shall you return. You want to know what color Adam was? Go look what color we returned to. When you dig up somebody that's been in their grave for 50, 75 years, that's what color Adam was. He says, dust thou art, and dust shall you return. The Most High made us from the dust of the earth. Everything. All you got to do is look outside your window, folks. What color do you see? Green and brown. Green and brown. Those are the only, that's the predominant colors. That's the color of what the Most High made his man. It's not nothing for black folks to stick their head up in the air or be proud. It's just science. It's above us. We didn't see nothing to make ourselves brown. Also, if you're thinning in the hair, if you're losing your hair, that's the same as losing pigmentation. All this stuff is a result of sin. White skin is a result of sin. White skin is a result of skin. Losing pigmentation is a result of sin. Losing hair is a result of sin. Growing too tall to where your joints hurt, if it causes a dis-ease, it's a result of sin. If you're too short, you know, being 3 foot in your, 3 feet in your, your joints hurt because you're a dwarf, whatever they call it. I'm not being insensitive, but I'm just saying anything you don't have, like Adam and Eve, that, you know, in the Bible days, they call it a blemish. Any blemishes you had, you couldn't be a priest. Any blemishes, and those are blemishes. To lose hair is a blemish. Okay? To not be able to have a child, that's a blemish. Something is wrong when you can't have a child. It ain't you. It ain't nothing wrong with the person that can't produce pigmentation or they have little pigmentation. It ain't nothing wrong with them as the person, but because sin, mankind has sinned, we've lost the ability to be Adam. But go ahead. I can go on.
Yes,
that's sir. The left.
Well, I just want to clarify. Yeah, not at all. And this is your show, and I defer to you as being the host. I just want to be clear that we need not leave out Dr. Amos Wilson and his book, Blueprint for Black Power. Even as Jesus said, it's not that we're equating. We have to look at, there are many motivations. There are many trajectories that lead into white supremacy. Whites have become a people. as Tim Wise had said. I mean, Tim Wise disputed some of what Dr. Francis Crest Wilson. I look at what they do. I try to be eclectic when I deal with, you know, refer to these scholars, because some of what they say I think is valid, and some of what I think they say may be valid to a certain degree, but there's, you know, there's a broader scope of racism, white supremacy, and it's not just, you know, because even Dr. Amos Wilson, who I think really is the definitive person thus far, even more so than Dr. Francis Crest Wilson, even Neely Fuller Jr., beyond, in terms of addressing racism, white supremacy. Whether you like white people or not, that's really up to the individual. I mean, that's their individual mode of how they respond to how they're being treated. I'm not going to tell anyone, even in psychotherapy. I mean, if you have been violated and you sense that it's racism, white supremacy, I would say, you know, try to, if you hate people, then that's something between you and God and the people who you feel violated by. That's your spiritual trajectory. Try to not do anything that would, you know, act out inappropriately. But to identify populations of people who have certain behaviors behooves us, because we are not just individuals, even in a spiritual sense. As we talk about black people, you were saying even that as black people that we violated, and as a people, we're being punished. So as a people, there is an evil coming from the white community. So, I mean, we can't, you know, it's like a double standard. You know, we're going to, you know, acknowledge that we're being punished as a group, but we need to deal with the people who are used as instruments of punishing us. Jesus said there are people who are children of God, and there are people who do the will of their father, the devil. I'm not saying that white people are the devil. I'm saying that within their community, that they are being used primarily as instruments of evil, you know, and it's not to say that they cannot repent, as we cannot repent. We can repent, but, you know, it's not evil to confront people. As Farrell Winfrey, again, Farrell Winfrey, I think it's important for anybody. Farrell Winfrey has several videos. A white Christian female is talking about, she believes that black people should not forgive whites. You know, the black people should demand justice. The black, she says, she doesn't want to be forgiven because, you know, there's repentance. You know, even as a Christian, you don't just say, well, you know, constantly be sinning. You know, talk about liberty, constantly be sinning, and then say, well, you know, it's under the blood of Jesus, and keep moving on. The repenting is turning away from your sins, and it's not just as an individual. Even Farrell Winfrey said, white people will say, well, I didn't do anything to harm you. Well, you didn't do anything to stop it either. You know, if I'm a member of a community and I'm benefiting and having privileges from that crime that is being committed, then, you know, and I realize that there is a crime, then, you know, if I don't do anything, then I'm being negligent and I'm also just as culpable. You know, tacit acceptance. So, again, this isn't about saying that some people are evil, some people are not. You know, we do function not really so much as individuals, but as groups of people, as tribes. You know, and, yeah, the devil is you say it's the devil, but, you know, it's people who are allowing themselves or willingly, you know, we have free will, doing the will of the devil. So in all essence, it really is not the devil. It's the people who just like we say that, just as we say that there are people who do evil, who profess to be Christians or Muslims, and we say it wasn't God who did that. It wasn't God who, it was those people who chose to do evil, you know, who profess to be Christians. Similarly, you know, it's not the devil who's doing it, like Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. It's the people who willingly do the will of the devil. So you know, we have to hold those people accountable. You know, and as a group, if we do that instead of piecemeal just focusing on individuals, and we, you know, because this is a system. You know, there are many people who, as Tim Wise pointed out, who many whites in the white community who have no concept of genetic survival. They could care less about that. It's greed or whatever. They're born into it. They're not even thinking about that. Even Farrell Winfrey said, you know, most of the white people aren't really aware of their whiteness until they're confronted with somebody who's not white, particularly black people. You know, so, you know, again, some of what Francis Crest Wilson says is rational, but again, she's not a guru. And I don't defer to. I think it's a mistake anybody in the black community not to even be Neely Fuller Jr., Dr. Amos Wilson, and Dr. Francis Cress Wilson, who was a psychiatrist, a physician.
Okay.
But even
okay,
her.
Hold on. Let me say this. We got about 20 people that all popped in here at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell y'all right now, if you don't, you can speak your mind. Please press 1, call the line. 760-283-0838. Comment. Y'all can just let us have it. As long as you ain't disrespecting me, I welcome adversity. But you will not come into the chat room and saying all kind of stupid stuff, as I will kick you off the chat room. It's just that simple. We serious. We have whites and blacks just going at this thing tonight. We getting to the bottom of racism, and we might be off. We might be cuckoo. Okay, so you need to call the phone line, press 1 like somebody with intelligence, because I know y'all intelligent. If for y'all to be all together like this, you must be a part of some group. That's fine. Press 1, comment, let's hear what you have got to say. Let's be men and women about it. I'm so tired of all of our white brothers and sisters coming in and saying something stupid and leaving. That makes us look good. That makes it like we're saying something right. We're wrong, we're uneducated, we don't have the intelligence to be on this. Not a problem. Call the phone line. We ain't running from you. Brother Salahuddin, do me a favor.
Yes, brother.
I want you to finish your point, and then we're going to go to the phone lines. We have a question, comment, area code 214-500. I'm going to go to them right after you make this comment. So were you done?
Oh, no, I'm done. I think I was finishing up, but very quickly. These are just human beings that Francis Cress Wilson, Dr. Amos Wilson, Neely Fuller Jr. These are at the forefront of this scholarship and explication of racism, white supremacy. Dr. Amos Wilson is now passed on. But just again, these we can build on what they have, modify it, and go beyond, as you said about us. It's just that they're positing, they're querying, they're questioning, they're investigating, they're seeking thus far, those are the three best that we have out there, and perhaps we can, with God's help, move on to do even better. That's it.
Okay. Let's go ahead and open the phone lines. I want you to stay there, if you will.
Yes, brother.
And we'll open the phone line and see what area code 214-500 has to say. Do you have a question or comment for us?
I guess I've got. Well, no, I guess it'd be a comment.
Okay,
either?
What's your comment? Yeah, what's your comment?
Okay. I hear everything that's being said on here, but at the same time, I think that it goes both ways. Just for example, I'll take the train down, the south side of town, and just walking around there, I'm white, and everyone calls me a Rudy Poo, and that doesn't even. You know what I mean?
Listen, let me explain something. I don't know what you mean, because people going to call you Rudy Poo. They're going to call you, hey, white boy, hey, black boy. That's kind of not what we're talking about. Now, I know y'all just all popped in at the same time, but let me tell you what we're talking about, okay? So if you want to comment, that's okay. I want y'all to comment bad. I really hope all of you comment. I want to hear from the white community. We have lots of things to share, and I want it bad. All I'm saying tonight is this. We're looking at why is there racism. This brother on the phone line and myself believe that the powers that be, not everyday white people that work and go to work with us, because they don't know jack. They just working every day, working overtime. They don't have time to read and study. They don't have power to go in the back room and see what's really going on. They don't even have a lot of white people don't have enough money to go to the Harvards and the Yales and get the true education. They have junior colleges and all types of other colleges that are worried about their image and losing tuition, so they're not going to have people there talking about Africa and how we all come from Africa. They ain't going to have that, but the Harvards and the Yales and those that have the reputation that they don't have to worry about, they'll tell the truth. So to you, my brother,
sure,
what we're asking is, what do you feel like is behind racism? What's really behind it?
Well, that's, you know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think, you know, like, just from my perspective, you know, it's all the Rudy Poos. They're just, I mean, it's just, because, I mean, what is that? You know what I mean?
I'm sorry. You know, I think, Seth, I think that really there are times that, you know, people will give their impressions, and we know that most people, as Neely Fuller Jr. said, if you don't understand racism, white supremacy, everything that you think, you know, will only confuse you. And he's confused, so, I mean, he can only express his confusion. I'm not disparaging you, sir, but you don't know what racism is. Racism is not name-calling.
Okay,
racism is a system of oppression. It's a system of oppression.
But do you know what a Rudy Poo is?
Well,
you know what?
Now we're not. This is really getting silly. You know,
seriously. I mean, do you know what?
I'm not going to discuss that with you. That's silliness.
I want to get a brother a little bit more rope here. I'm saying is this: you just showed up, my brother, and I don't know what your true purpose is on this show. I want to just simply engage you. There's about 80 people that just showed up at this chat room.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for a fact you don't get 80 people in that quick unless they all come in to just take over something. All I got to do is just wipe out this whole chat room, all these comments, and then they won't be able to,
Hold on.
You're more than welcome. I again reach out to my white brothers and sisters. Now, yes, I'm calling you my brother. I reach out to you. We're trying to figure out something that is the biggest threat to socialism on our planet. The philosophy, the ideology, the belief system of white supremacy. We're talking about why do we think it is. Now, if y'all come here to talk about something else, disrespect us, that's not what we want to do. We want to talk about this. So I'm asking
you,
I want to know what's your take on it. Don't say somebody call you a Rudy Poo. That's so weak. We want to know what's behind the multi-billion, trillion-dollar philosophy of white supremacy. Why do you think they hide the glory of Africa? Why is everything that's great and good white? Why is
So somebody just came in the room. I'm gonna get off. So just, you know, since I'm your brother, whatever. I mean, you are my Rudy Poo. You know what I mean?
So like, that's why I told you, Seth. I could identify that he was just
completely silly
from the beginning.
That's all right. Let's move on. We got area code 440787.
Really?
440787. I'm not going to give the rest of your number. Did you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I did, actually. Now, in my opinion, I think racism generally comes from families. Like, I'm obviously a white family here, and like when I was little, like, my grandpa would say racist jokes all the time. Like, I mean, for example, like when my mother was younger, like she tried to like date a black guy. I mean, my grandpa said he was going to shoot him off the porch with a shotgun, pretty much. And just countless, like, you know, black people smoke crack, just stuff like that. It's household for me. And I mean, I understand that it's just incredibly racist. But I mean, I'll be out with people and I'll find myself dropping the N-word. And I mean, do you see where I'm coming from here?
Yeah, but I'm waiting on you to say what you think this global, this international multi-trillion-dollar effort to keep the Bible white, to keep history white, keep Africa out of it. And if we keep this up, if we keep educating people like this, all kind of folks are going to be coming in and disrespecting black folks and laughing at them. And I get a lot of people coming on my show saying crazy stuff and hanging up. Of course they're going to do that because I don't have the same values they have. They feel like they're superior.
Yeah.
So I'm asking you, because you sound like a very intelligent person, why do you think that is? Why would somebody call a show like we're sitting here right now, dialoguing? We have white people in the chat room before you guys all came in, and they were sharing. They weren't necessarily agreeing with every single thing we're saying, but they was, you know, we're having a dialogue. We're disagreeing, and we're agreeing, and we're researching. We're quoting scholars. So I want you, sir, you know, I want you to, you're new to the show, welcome to the show. Give us what you think is behind this global multi-trillion dollar effort. Maybe you don't even believe there's a global multi-trillion dollar effort to hide Africa and Africa achievement. I'm telling you, I have crazy proof from white scholars, black scholars, short scholars, bald-haired scholars, whatever you want your scholar look like, saying by the millions that civilization started in Africa. Why don't we hear that more?
I don't know, just all the, like, your basic stereotypes. I just think it comes down to, like, the most basic things. Like, just for example, you don't hear about, like stereotypes like white men, like, constantly, like, want to rape, like, black women. It's, like, always, like, when you see a black guy looking at a white woman, I mean, you know he's thinking, like, you know, I'm going to rape you when I get the chance. And,
Hold on a second. Do you realize what you just said is one of the oldest lies in the world? Let me tell you something about
Hold on a second,
because I want you, that was interesting what you just said. I'm going to give you the mic. I'm going to let you talk tonight. But you said something that is the craziest lie ever. Most white women are the one. Every black guy I know. I know a black guy right now. I'm not going to call his name. He probably is listening to this show. But he was married. Oh, my goodness. The white women seem like they're the ones that will run after these black guys. I'm a black man. I don't have no inkling to be with no white woman. I think they're pretty.
Well,
but
yeah,
I'm going to give you the mic. Every time
I try to say something, you keep asking me to stop talking. I just make a comment. Please, you know, else it would be pointless for me to stay on the show with you. No, I just wanted to say very simply that, you know, I'm a black male who's a Muslim, and I'm married to 14 years to a white woman who is Jewish. So if I may say this, Brother Seth, I think the gentleman is sincere. You know, I have, you know, through interacting with this white family who is Jewish, that I understand that there's so many lies and myths and cliches and platitudes that shape the way you think, as it will shape the way I think, and the structure of the society that has made him think this way. And I think he's saying that within his family it's been passed on, you know, we've come out of slavery and segregation, and it's embedded in the culture that we live in. And it really what's going to change this is we have to change the structure of the society. It's not going to – some individuals may change the way they think if they try to restructure their society, their values, or interact with some black people who they come to care about and love, like Farrah Winfrey, a white Christian woman who did. And she, through her love of certain black individuals, she began to change. But, you know, again, as you said, I think this gentleman who's calling in is sincere. They don't really know the depth of the pain or really what this system is. So they talk and they listen. I would suggest you listen to Tim Wise. He's a lecturer on YouTube who really lectures to mostly white people. He can give you a lot of information that maybe you can connect with and can enlighten you. You know, because especially if it comes from a white person, I think Farrah Winfrey, you know, I think it would be beneficial. So go ahead, Brother Seth. I just wanted to interject. That's all.
I want to say something that's on the Internet right now and it's global. We got some other callers holding, but I want to hear from this caller before we – I definitely want to hear from this caller. But we got two more callers that want to comment too. But before you go, I want to ask you – I want to give you another – at least 5 minutes to share. But I want to say one thing. Are you aware of the concept of swinging?
Can you say that one more time?
Are you here? I am Epic. I do see your comment. You're right. Brother, are you aware of the concept of swinging? Swinging, like having more than one sex. Wife swapping.
Wife swapping?
Yeah,
like interracial wife swapping?
No, just wife swapping, period. You ever heard of it?
Oh, okay. I thought if you were going to say interracial, I was going to say, you know, black people are gross. Would not do that. Elbows too pointy out of 10.
Okay, well, hold on, sir. Because you can say little crazy stuff like holler, say nigger, and hang up. Man, that is so weak. I really wish y'all would do something like that. Just dialogue with me. Listen, hold on. Listen to me. Wife swapping is a major part of internet porn. I was doing doing a research on this. I want you to check this out. Are you aware that there's, I don't even know if it's millions or what it is. Oprah had a show on it. Somebody else had a show on it. It's major that these white men is going to get black men. They're begging these black men. They're not paying them, but to sleep with their wives. They believe that the black man is superior, penis wise and all this. And so they believe that they woman want to sleep with. This is so big. This is so huge. This is so much part of interracial porn. It ain't even funny. Wife swapping. I'm telling you, it's major. And it's not black men running for these white women like you think they want to rape, as you said. It's white men getting their princesses, their lovely wives, somebody they swore to be with forever. They're getting black strangers to sleep their wives by the thousands. More than these little black guys is at these clubs trying to hook up with a white girl. I know about them. I know about some of them.
I just want to say, and that's psychologically, that's in order to the wounded ego of the white male, and this is just objective, and this is basic psychology. It responds to that by trying to create an illusion that it's the black man who is chasing the white woman when they see a white woman walking down the street with a black man, because their egos, that's how they deal, a defensive mechanism to deal with feeling rejected and belittled. So you're right. I mean, it's not so they have to, and that's why many black men during the time of the lynchings, where a white woman would maybe be caught with a black man that she was having an affair with, and she said, "Oh, he raped me." And many of the lynchings were by black men were having affairs with white women in the South, and the white women simply told on, in order to cover her back, and to not be deemed culpable, had said that the black man raped her. So yeah, this is a way that the white man compensates for his feelings of inadequacy when feeling rejected by white women pursue black men.
Let's do this. I want you to stay on the line. We got some more calls. We got several more hands. I mean, it is as many people on the call phone as it is in the chat room. So we might be dealing with about 200 people here tonight. Okay. All right. So just stay with me, okay, Brother Saladin? You there?
Yes, brother. Yes, I'm
all right. Eric code 559-304. Go ahead. You are on the air.
Hello?
You're on the air, sir. Go right ahead.
Yes. I absolutely agree with what you guys were saying about black people not getting a vote. I mean, I agree. They shouldn't be allowed to. I think this whole situation would be fixed if we just stopped them from voting. The whole chat room was convincing me of this. I didn't really agree with that, and then they changed my mind.
Hold on, sir. What do you mean? We didn't mention anything about black people not voting.
You said it like 5 times. I have it written down on my notepad.
Okay, Brother Saladin, do you remember talking about not voting?
No, I think we should move on. This is proving
what we're saying is correct.
Because these guys
we'll go to the next caller. We'll go to the next caller.
Yeah, please. I mean, this is funny. They're proving you right.
Well, no, he meant well. He just had the wrong show. Let's just move on. It's okay. What was that, 15
I doubt
seconds?
That.
Hold on. 205-928. Do you have a question or comment? Are you guys playing a game or what?
Oh, hi. No, no game. I just have a rebuttal to something you said a little while ago. You had pretty much the most racist comment that I've heard with, "Are you aware that the whites are, all this keeping Africa down, blah, blah, blah." Are you aware that hip-hop and Africa and many other things is infiltrated everyday American life? And even when people like Common go to the White House, a man who has openly said that he wanted, he backed the lady that killed that police officer, I believe it was, or state trooper was up in Detroit, wherever it was. But when you have things like this going on and stuff being forced down people's throats, how can you sit there and you acknowledge that it's the white person doing this? I mean, are you aware that you mad, bro? I mean, seriously?
Okay. Listen to what I'm saying. Hip-hop, to me, is hip-hop is only as big as white teens buy their CDs. Now, I want you to listen to me. You go to a concert, you're going to expect a whole lot of black guys with gold teeth. That's what I thought. I know I'm being stereotyped, but I thought that's who go to rap concerts. If you go to video right now on the YouTube, you can just, while I'm talking, go to YouTube, type in, okay, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, and Eminem. Just type in those three names. You're going to get a concert. Tell me who's at that concert. Those people would be somewhere hold on. I'll let you talk. Let me just get this out. Okay. I'm going to let you talk. I'm going to respect you. I promise you. If you look at who is behind hip-hop, do you know who write their contracts? Do you know who make their CDs? Do you know who's really making the money? Those guys are slaves.
Exactly.
Do you realize, hold on, give me 30 seconds. Do you realize Snoop, 50 Cent, they bunch of slaves. You want to know who's the real power behind them, and if they did not want them out there, those black folks would be somewhere cleaning up somewhere.
Exactly.
I'm telling you, sir, first of all, I never blame white people. So if you're hearing that, I promise y'all got the wrong show. We never said white people is the problem. This show is dealing with racial matters. It don't mean white people is the problem. We talk about, if you look at our archives, one of the shows, we talk about black hate. We define racism as white supremacy / black inferiority. White people feeling they're superior, black people feeling they're inferior. We're talking about both of them. Both of those are lies. White people not superior, and black people are not inferior. Black people acting inferior by doing a bunch of dumb things out here. White people are feeling like they're superior by doing a bunch of dumb things out here. So we're attacking the psyche. We're not attacking white people. So all y'all that showed up thinking you're going to have some big fight, you're just all tripping if that's what you're thinking.
But, bro, it's not a fight, man. It's just I'm trying to say you were talking about the Illuminati just now, and now you tell me about Dr. Bro, go look up Ziz. Look up Ziz and you will see what gods of aesthetics are. And look up the Big Nasty 86 and you will see Ziz's future prodigy son and things like this, man. And just don't be so mad, man. Just smile once in a while. Just smile. Be happy.
Yeah, obviously this is an insincere call and these are just really deflecting comments. Well, I mean, really, I think it's important to take authority when people call and they really don't know what racism, white supremacy is, and they're looking at symptoms of it. Really, they should really be listening. There have been so many distortions in this society relative to what racism, white supremacy is. And there, many of the people who call in really don't seem like they really are functioning in the white supremacist modality because they really don't really care about it. They just they're actually showing the attitude of the supremacist by making fun of a very serious issue. It's almost like thumbing their nose and acknowledging, yes, we are superior. So therefore, you know, and thus acknowledging that they're in a superior position. It's not inherently superior, just a superior position, and they're thumbing their noses. But also by doing that, the fact that we're aware of it, they're also made to feel insecure. So you also hear, also a bit of insecurity and also a great deal of acknowledgement that, yes, I'm in this position, but, you know, the white supremacy is eroding. Go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Seth.
Let's do this. Let me take another call because I want people to hear what folks are saying. Now, you know, there's a lot of educated white people out here. As a matter of fact, white people, I would say, in America, is far more educated than black. I mean, I'm just waiting for the scholar to hi, this is Professor so-and-so, and I you know, like the person just trying. I'm looking for the intelligent debate here. If I don't hear it, what would the listeners think? And I'm about to go to area code 978382, so give me about 10 seconds. But I'm just saying, some people have made a few little points, but I'm saying I'm not rushing them off the phone. They're hanging up, number one. I don't think I've said goodbye to anybody. They hang up. So I'm saying this is what we deal with, folks. When we want to be serious, if you don't tell us the truth, especially if any of y'all call yourself Christians in this chat room or on the phone line, if you call yourself a Christian, it is a law. The Bible says if you see your brother at fault, and I am a believer also, if you see your brother at fault, go to him, lest you also be tempted. You are required to come in and say, you know what, I hear y'all, but let me help y'all out. I'm a little more educated than y'all. Let me help y'all out. Okay, let's go to area code 978382. Maybe they're going to do just that. Area code 978382, go ahead, you're on the air.
Hello.
Area code 978382, I'm not going to mention your whole phone number, but anybody that's got a phone number that starts like that, that's who we're talking to.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go right ahead, sir. You're on the air.
I'm a NY Illmatic from the Mist. Yeah, and I was walking down the street, and, you know, I'm a black male. And they were like, yo, how big is that, you know, thing down there? And I was like, whoa, wait, what? You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, you know, 10 inches, you know, because that's, this stereotype, but I was like, yo, you know, I was like, what the hell? I just left, you know? Anything about that, what do you got to say about that? It was a white dude.
That's just a fool. It's just somebody that's ignorant, ooh, probably, and making it above their
education. Stereotype, I don't appreciate that.
I would just say, hey, you know, that I want to talk with that about you.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Let me ask you something. As far as it relates to this conversation, I mean, what do you think? What do you think about what you've heard so far?
I mean, I just want reps.
Huh?
I mean, oh, hold on, man. Yo, Tyrone, I gotta go, man. My boyfriend's here.
And there's a black guy, so he's with him, okay.
I don't know if he's black. We don't know that.
I don't know. Maybe
we have no idea what color
this is. Hold on. Thomas, somebody, you never know who's going to come on this line, man. So I have got to be fair to everybody. Thomas,
hey.
You have a question or comments for us?
Yeah, I'm OP's cousin, and I've been listening to your show for the past 40 minutes now, and it's just like, I've heard you guys talk, it's like, you guys should be ashamed, you guys talk nothing, like, you guys are racist yourselves, like, oh, white people this, and black people this, and white, there's other races in the world, guys, there's other, you guys got some cool stories, you know, bro? And I don't know. You guys, you know, don't seem legit.
Okay, let me say this to you, Thomas. I think that's your name. There's a lot of topics out there to talk about. Racism is so strong in America. Every single day, somebody's a victim of a hate crime. They even have to have laws.
Yeah, it's a cool story, bro. But
Hold on. Let me finish my comment. I'm going to let you have the floor for sure. Everybody's listening to you, so you're going to get the floor. Just let me make a little short comment here. Racism on Sunday morning is the most segregated hour in America, the day we all go to church. That's the most segregated moment. I'm talking about racism. Why I have a show called Racial Matters and Solutions.
Yeah, it's a really cool
why
story.
Why do I do this every Tuesday? Hold on.
No, I'm letting you go.
Why I do this every Tuesday? When you have a show about racism, you got to say white people. You got to say black people. I talk about both people and sicknesses that both people have. It's a sickness to leave out 90% of history and talk about Europe. That's sick. It's a sickness to go and paint the whole Bible white, and it was made up. The history took place in Africa. A lot of it. That's sick.
Yeah.
It's a sickness to take the most important being to ever come to the planet, talking about the Messiah.
Truly feels bad, man.
Hold on. And to commission Michelangelo to paint him and render a white and push that on all of the nations of the earth as though this is the true depiction of the Messiah. It's a sickness to say that black people have tails. It's a sickness to say that black people are only good for physical things when obviously that's not true because civilization started with these same black people. It's a sickness to say that Europe is the home for white people when before white people got to Europe, there was the Grimaldis and other black people there. The scientists have said these Africans were all over the planet. So what I'm trying to say is to you, Thomas,
yeah,
this is a sickness. So we're talking about the sickness.
But
go ahead.
I just don't know. Like you bring up a lot of good points and everything. And I truly like, I'm nodding my head, like, cool story, bro. You know, like, I truly mean that in my heart, cool story. But you have everything wrong because, I mean, the world started with the Big Bang.
Okay, well, hold on a second. I got 60 seconds. I just was told I got 60 seconds by the reminder. So everybody on the chat room, I'm going to lose all y'all. Y'all going to lose this interesting conversation unless you call the phone line, okay? If you want to listen to their comments.
Hold on. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just saying, because nobody's going to be able to say that I didn't give these people a proper respect.
Let's not forget Hoda giving big shout out to Africa and my boy Carl and OP.
Yeah, Seth, I just want to say that I think it's important at times to really take authority over ignorance or people who are insincere. And I think virtually every call that's been on the show that called in was an insincere mocking. And I assert this, and I think that most of the intellectuals assert this, that these type of people who call in are fully aware of what racism, white supremacy is. They completely understand what it is, and they're just mocking you as though you're talking to them as though they don't know. Hello?
I'm here.
Yeah, I think they're talking to you as though you do not, as though you don't know, like saying that, you know, they can follow. They're not unintelligent. You said they have basic intelligence and can reason. So, I mean, you know, their insincerity and their desire to make a game out of this is,
well, let me tell you
we
what
feed
I'm
into
let me
it by
you.
Really, yeah. They should just be listening.
Let,
I mean, if somebody's going to call,
what I'm
yeah.
doing. Let me tell you what
right.
I'm doing, just so you know.
Right.
Let me tell you what I'm doing. I'm letting them hang their own self. And if I talk to 10 people, or whatever number I decide to let it go to, people are going to see they scared of Brother Seth. They won't come correct with him. They must not have nothing. Now, if somebody's getting in here and they're really getting in my grill because they're making a lot of sense and they're quoting me and they're saying, they're challenging me on academics this, academics that, no, this didn't happen that time period, and we're going back and forth on facts, that gives the other side point. But when you call and you're hanging up, you're making us look sharp. I'm using wisdom.
Yeah.
But if I say I don't want to take the next call, who's to say this next call is
no,
not
I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I said that, you know, I believe this is my style. I'm not going to dispute your style. Your style may very well have its place. I mean, because this is my style. You know, I've taught in college. I mean, I've taught, policy studies at Empire State College as an adjunct instructor. I don't have a PhD, but I've got actually several masters. And this is just my approach. When I find someone who is insincere and is not willing to learn, because the magnitude of the facts that we discuss, we don't. I don't debate facts. You know, this is just about learning. There's so many distortions, and if you don't have the proper attitude to learn, then you're out of here. So this is just should be about learning. I don't debate with ignorant people. You lower the quality and the level of the discourse, and also we lower the level and quality of the topic by debating with ignorant people. You simply tell them the facts, and if they're not willing to listen, you hang up. You know, if they display that they something is silly, and he admits, I mean, by the statement that he made the last one, is again just mocking you. I don't. It's not an issue. Those people who believe in those, no, I'm just saying. For me, I'm just saying this is my style. I mean, this to me,
I gotta make sure he's mocking. Once he mocks, I'll let everybody hear him mock, and then I'll say, "Well, this, am I misunderstanding you?" And then he mocks again. Now everybody knows he's mocking, but if he first mocks once,
right,
and they're gonna say, "Seth, you just come on, you have a little fun." I want them to see that these people. Thus far, is up to no good. They have nothing.
Right.
They
have there's a statement.
Nothing.
Yeah. I hear you. This is a statement that I live by. For those who understand, there's no explanation necessary. For those who don't understand, there's no explanation possible. You know, sometimes you have to, for me, establish boundaries, healthy boundaries. And like I said, I don't, for the people who are willing to and have a desire to learn, they will have a certain attitude, and they will listen. So, I mean, for someone to dispute the facts that we've been trying to introduce nonsense as though to counter what you said, there's nothing to prove to anybody, because if people are ignorant, they're not going to respond to what you say anyway, because they're not going to be able to identify what you say as truth or fact. They have to go through
I think afterwards, they're going to have a little meeting and say, "We really wrecked that show, didn't we? What do you think they're going to be able to say?" Woohoo! No, they can't say that.
I really don't care what they
say.
What?
Hold on. Follow me.
Right.
Follow me. What
right.
happens is, we're sharing. The truth is still getting out. It's open forum. Now, if I was going to talk about A, B, and C, D, and I open up that line and I talk about A, B, C, D, then, yeah, I will do exactly what you said. But tonight is open forum. We're talking about anything racial matters and solution, anything regarding racial matters and solution. So they have a right to make a question until they say something stupid. When they say something stupid, hold on. I'm just letting you see how we roll them. And if it gets too rough, you want to hang up, I understand. But I want you to hang around if it's possible. We only got 3 more calls and then we're done. But
certainly.
I'm just saying to you, I'm being fair. So when they go out and meet and feel like they wrecked the show, they ain't wrecked nothing here. Every single time I talk to any one of them, I'm bringing out more truth and more truth that you and I probably wouldn't have brought out otherwise.
But we don't need that intervention of negativity actually to waste time. We have it's time limited. You know,
what I'm
it's simply
is
we don't
how do
we don't
I
need
know?
To have a debate in order for you to simply state the facts.
It's not a debate
or a lecture. Yeah.
I hear what you're saying,
but this is your format. I'm not going to dispute your format. Yeah, I'm just saying what I think would be a better approach.
Please trust me. If you once you listen to all this, it's going to make a lot more sense.
I've heard this kind of dialogue before, a very valid point. Right.
Okay. All right, let me just go to the next person. See how this goes. Maybe it's a compliment. Area code 952992. Do you have a – hold on. Area code 952992. Do you have a question or comment, please?
Yes, I actually have a personal story I'd like to share with the forum. And it is a racial driven story. You see, I was born in West Philadelphia. And up until the time I was about like 12, 13 years old, you know, I used to go play basketball with my friend. And one day, a bunch of these hoodlums came through, and you know they started calling.
Okay, all right. So he started laughing, so I took him not to be serious. So I'm moving on.
Can I say this, please? Can I just make this comment?
No,
again,
no. Hold on.
Right.
Just let me get to these other calls because you and I are going to finish up the show. I've got two more.
Okay, okay, I understand. Okay, brother. Yes, sir.
I'm actually getting a kick out of it, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
Golden State heavyweight, you're on the air. Go ahead with your question, comment, or joke. Hello? Golden State heavyweight, you're on with your question or comment? Okay, see how easy that was? And then there's
mm-hmm.
last
yes,
one, 949-467. Error code 949-467, you're on the air, go right ahead.
Hi there.
Let me ask
hey,
you a question before you comment. Will you be man enough to tell me what organization y'all with?
Talk about
it. I think you might be I don't think you're associating me with the right group. I have a serious question, so.
Okay, go ahead.
I was wondering if you could elaborate on what you had said earlier about, forgive me for butchering this, but you made a comment about record executives all being white and in turn choosing the career paths of
I'll repeat that, sir. I appreciate you asking. What I'm saying is, if somebody white was so disgusted with 50 Cent and him just really just diminishing the white world and his little white children and all the little future white children of the world, and it really was so just disgusted with these black people polluting the planet, really, then don't sign his ass up. Because there's other rappers that's talking about the Most High. There's rappers like X-Clan. Hold on. Let me get this out. There's lots of rappers I can call names you never heard of them, and they preaching the truth. Okay? So why is it Snoop get multi-million dollars? And why is it these white kids are buying these albums? Why don't they parents say, I'm going to knock the hell out of you. You buy one more, bring one more black record in here that's destroying our moral fabric. It's the white people that's making these folks rich, be it the people that sign them up or the people that's buying all these CDs. These black kids, I'm not putting down my people. I'm not going to do it for you or nobody else. But realistically, black people are not buying CDs like that. There's a whole lot of downloading. I know, my son, for instance, he'll go to iTunes and download something from iTunes, but they're not going to buy these $18 CDs and all this. So what I'm trying to say is this show is not saying white men is a problem. I think some of the callers before you are trying to turn the show like I'm saying the white man. This show is so much bigger than that. We talk about black self-hate. We're talking about ancient old lies that's been taught in history. We're talking about black people that's pushing this just as hard as white. We're talking about the philosophy of white. Hold on, one last thing. We're talking about the philosophy of white supremacy. Not the people. The philosophy, sir, the ideology, the behaviors of, this guy going to come on and try to make, the rappers are doing so much to pollute. I just want to let him know, do you know what you're saying? Don't use the rappers. That's a weak argument. Because white people is what made that monster.
I think you just put words in my mouth. I was just asking you to elaborate on what you meant by the comment you made about record execs. So correct me if I'm wrong. Are you suggesting that statistically the majority of people that buy, forgive the term, this black music are white people? Is that what you're saying?
Big time. It's seven times more white people than it is black in America. Okay. Black people don't have the kind of money to make – what's his name? What they call him, the one out of New Jersey, the richest one out of all of them, P. Diddy.
Jersey?
They don't have the kind of money to make him that wealthy. It's impossible.
Isn't that just a statistical fact based on the amount or the lack of black population, relatively speaking?
I'm saying,
I'm just saying. I mean, the the black community. It's not the majority in America. So naturally, a race other than blacks are going to make up the majority of music sales. Isn't that an accurate statement?
Right. So why could you ever blame black people that don't make up the majority of the monies being bought for these CDs? How could they be the problem? What moron would come on a show and make a comment about rap music being a black folks polluting America when white people is behind it? I'm not...
Worldwide, actually. Rap music worldwide. Exactly.
Rap music. So, I mean, black people in general, I mean, they're a minority, correct? I mean, so statistically, if you're talking about...
No. White people, globally speaking, is 8% of the world's population. They're the real minority. But in America, black, so-called black people are a minority.
Okay, which would show why statistically black people don't buy versus whites or Asians or Mexicans or whatever a lot of rap albums, right? I mean, isn't
Seth,
that
don't
like,
you think this is getting off topic and he's kind of mincing hairs? You got him getting way off the topic.
No, I don't think that at all.
The nature of my original question was, you know, you almost made this comment as if like, okay, you know, it's these white people in these record executive positions that are choosing these black people to come about and pollute the airways or whatever, which is not really what I'm saying. But, I mean, it's a record executive's job to push what sells. And if people like listening to gangster rap...
Wait a minute, sir. I'm going to let you talk.
Continue interrupting me. You're not letting me talk. You just continue interrupting me. I mean... Record executives push what sell. And it's not just white record executives. I mean, the majority of people in the media, if you want to be stereotypical about it, are Jewish. You have Jay-Z, who owns one of the biggest record companies in America. You have Randy Jackson. You have Irving Azoff. You have Sean Combs. I mean, I don't get where you're coming from.
Well, let me make it real clear to you. You name about four names. If we start naming white people, that would make those guys look like they don't know what they're doing. We'll be here till tomorrow. What I'm saying to you is this, sir. First of all, this show is not an attack on white people. So I don't know all the little guys that come with you, whoever y'all are, say they're attacking white people. Let's go to the show. Well, you got it wrong. We don't. We love over here at this station. We love all people. We respect all people. You got the wrong blog. Try another one tomorrow. Maybe it'll work. What we talk about on this show is the philosophy, the ideology of white supremacy. We talk about it being pushed by blacks and whites. We talk about how it's one of the most destructive things on the planet that's dividing the people of the world. It is one of the most wicked things to come out of the mind of Satan. Is this philosophy of white supremacy. We don't even believe that white people is the author of white supremacy. It's too evil for even white people to produce.
Well,
I don't believe white people look...
Seth, don't speak for me when you say that. That's not accurate from my perception, but continue. Yes.
I believe that Satan, the Bible says in Ephesians 6, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. I do not believe that white people, the people especially I go to work with, dumb people don't have the wherewithal to put together a system that would divide and conquer the planet. It has to be Satan. So first of all, that's the angle I'm coming out of. But when the caller before you made some stupid remark talking about rap music and they sitting up buying it more than anybody, and they are buying it more than anybody, that's a fact. If all of the record producers or executives were black, white kids need to not be buying it. It's simple. You strengthen these people. Don't turn around and strengthen them. Just like Obama. Don't turn around and put him in office and then try to, you know. I mean, I'm just saying. People got to take responsibility for their actions.
What do you mean about how is purchasing music strengthening anybody? I mean, what do you mean by that?
Because if you buy a Snoop's record, Of course it's going to influence the world because you're making the man filthy rich. All you got to do is not buy. I'm a part of a Christian.
You're diving into human nature. I mean, human nature is to buy what they enjoy. I mean, most people don't have enough philosophical sense to look deep into it and say, oh, my God, you know, if I purchase this album, it's going to be funding something that, you know, is plaguing America. Most people don't think that when they buy a Snoop Dogg album. They like the music they're listening to, and so they purchase it. I mean,
Then they shouldn't come on blogs and talking about black people's problem then. Okay, if you're decadent and you just need to hear the filth, don't come on blog shows. Don't be on NBC, CBS. I get tired of hearing people try to blame these young black boys that don't have the intelligence to run nothing, and then all of a sudden they're the problem with America. No, America is the one decadent. It's their children that's decadent. It's their gay parents that's decadent. It's their godly parents that's decadent. It's their atheist. I'm just saying, it's a decadent society. They want this crap. And so when you buy it and you make these quacky people rich, don't turn around and blame those young
scapegoats
for America's downfall. America was going down before Snoop.
Well, I mean, there's no disputing that, obviously. I mean, that's hypocritical. But, what are you suggesting the solution is? I mean, in realistic terms, I mean, we're a country of 300 million people. I mean, what scales that large? What type of fundamental change could scale that large?
It's very simple. Second Chronicles 7, and I think it's 19:14, says, if my people, and that could be really anybody, I mean, I know it's for Israel, but if all the nations do it, they'll be blessed as well. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. America is humble. White people need to humble themselves. They're the most arrogant people on the planet. I love them. You got to know, man, I'm serious. I love white people. But they are the most arrogant. Hear me out. They're the most arrogant people. They feel like they are the authors of everything. And the Bible says, 30 seconds, guys. The Bible says pride goeth before the fall. White people are in trouble because of their arrogance, not because they, you know, it's just evil. I don't believe they're evil at all. I think it's just the pride. You get educated, you start creating technology, and you start feeling like you're God. You start feeling like you can, you know, I'm better than God. I can make humans. I can make robots. And the Bible says pride goeth before the fall. They need to humble themselves, pray. That means to call on the Most High, somebody higher than them, possibly if they can, on their knees. It's a good thing for white males especially to get on their knees because that's a position they don't do very often. And I'm not being – I know I'm throwing some blanket out here, but I'm being real. It's not all white males. For sure, there's some white males that are more righteous than I'll ever be. But I'm saying for the most part, man, I promise you, it's white males are very arrogant in this country. I'm serious. They need to humble themselves and pray. Get on their knees. Call on the Most High. Save me. Save my family. Show me the way to go. Humble yourself. That's the solution. But you can't call people. I'm not talking no more after this. I promise you. I'm going to let you talk, and I'm going to let the brother talk, and we're going to wrap this show up. I promise you, no more talking after this.
That Americans are arrogant? I mean, isn't that a pretty broad generalization to say that?
You're right. African Americans are arrogant. Okay. African Americans are everything. But I'm saying African Americans are near bottom. And as a rule, when you're near the bottom, you're more eager to be humble. You know, they go to church more. They fake it at church. They're not always real. They sin like everybody else. But what I'm saying is white people, because they are doing so well, most of them economically compared to our black brothers and sisters, they have this arrogance that they have arrived. Everybody, a lot of my white friends, they get offended. If I even try to buy their meal, they always want to buy my meal. And it's just this arrogance that a lot of white males have. It's just from birth, man. It's just the truth. So what I'm saying, you say, what is the solution? I'm going to give it to y'all. The solution? It's what I said. They have got to humble themselves. You cannot blame the poorest people in your country, the most powerless people. If they're powerless and they're poor, they can't be your problem. It just don't make sense. That's insanity. If they're powerless and they're poor, then they can't be your problem. They can't be, well, all these welfare recipients. If they're powerless and they're poor, that means you can do with them as you will, and they can't be your problem.
Exactly. Brilliant. Brilliant. In a nutshell, brilliant.
Isn't the issue then one more of segregation? I mean, the more that you identify, like, identify whites and blacks in a bipartisan manner, I mean, the more that they're going to separate from each other, and this segregation is just going to continue, and this...
Well, can I say something? Yeah, well, the problem already exists. It's not you can't solve a problem by ignoring it. You have to address it. You can't get better if you have an illness without getting treatment for it. So, no, I mean, it may make you feel uncomfortable. I know Brother Seth, but it's supposed to. And you're actually, this is the course that is necessary. And I thank you. And I'm going to say this, I can sense, and I'm sure Brother Seth sense, you are the best call we've had all night because you're sincere. You've been affected by racism, white supremacy. We've been affected differently, but you've grown up in this culture as we have, and it's affected you. The way you think, the way you perceive things, and you're trying to get some resolution. So I just want to say this to the Brother Seth and let you do what you got to do. I just there are a couple of organizations that that white people have gone to that maybe if they wanted to learn more about, could really get a real understanding about what racism, white supremacy is, and what the dynamics between blacks and whites are in this country. One, my wife is white and Jewish, and she's involved with an organization called Jews for Racial and Social Justice in New York City. Again, that's Jews for Racial and Social Justice. There's called an institute in Nashville, Tennessee, called Race Relations Institute. A lot of white people and blacks go there and study or do seminars or learn about the dynamics, not just about what it is, but how to address it. So that's, again, those are two organizations that perhaps, I don't know if you're Jewish, but from there it's a starting point for any white person who may feel comfortable with other whites, who perhaps it would be more palpable to you if you're receiving this information about the whites, and it'll make more sense to you.
I think those organizations are the problem. Whether it's white, black, Jewish, Mexican, it's all segregation. You get a bunch of people that band together, they have one common goal, and they get blinded, and they don't ever want to bond together with the people who essentially oppose them. That's just human nature. You're not going to move forward by segregating yourselves, by segregating yourself in like a black group or a Hispanic group or a Jewish group.
Well, we haven't. You see, again, that's another misconception. We're being oppressed. If you're not in reality about what's actually going on, there's a group that's being oppressed and there's a group that's oppressing. You're having privilege and you're denying, it seems like you're in denial that you do have privilege. So if you have such distortions and misconceptions, you're not going to perceive, as I said before, as Neely Fuller Jr. wrote in his book, if you don't understand racism, white supremacy, everything that you think you know will only confuse you. The feminists did not overcome white male patriarchy by not establishing organizations and addressing it. It was not going to go away because it was already embedded in the culture. It's not an racism, white supremacy is not an individual feeling. It's a system. And systems become embedded in cultures, and they generate certain values, and it becomes pervasive throughout virtually every institution in a society. You know,
involved in this. All white people are involved in this, in the supremacy. Or
if you're in this culture, then to some degree, you are. I mean, either you're a part of it, or you're benefiting from it. If you are, you know why you're a part of it, because you're not doing anything to change it. You know, if there are people who are proactive in being white supremacists, but if through lethargy or inactivity, you do become a part of the problem, just as people who don't vote become a part of the problem because they're not voting. So then how can they complain about having poor leadership? They didn't vote. So if there's a system that exists and you're not doing anything to get rid of it, we used to have civics courses in this country. And if you're aware of what civics is, the civics course has taught people how to be good citizens. You know, we don't function as individuals. Most of what you know, most of what I know, is as you say, you've seen it on television, you learned it through the system, through the educational system, by word of mouth. All of these are institutions, and these institutions are created and enacted by design.
I personally learned by experience. I mean, I don't really allow what I see on TV to influence how I feel about the
So where do you get your information from? Where are you getting your information from?
Where do you
Where's your attitude coming from?
Mm-hmm. Where do you get your information from?
No, I asked you. It's
right?
Double talk. I asked information from.
I understand. I get my information from experience.
Right. I've been sharing all night where I get my information from. I've said the books, and I said, so what books? What have you read? What is your where are you getting your information from?
You're right. I don't go and read books, which I'm sure
are
widely regarded.
The point that I'm saying is that some of us, when you have the proper mentality, then you realize that if you have the come to epiphany and then understand, you realize we're not saying anything against white people, and it will be beneficial to you because white people in this country who are affected by this system of racism, white supremacy, have adopted certain attitudes that they need not have. Michael Moore wrote a book, and I'm not trying to say insulting, called Stupid White Men. That's a good book to read. Tim Wise wrote a book called, you know, White Like Me. These are two very good books for white people to read. To say that a lot of the misery
and the
fear that you have has been generated by a system and a mentality that is embedded in this country, that was institutionalized by certain laws, and now it's embedded in this country, and it's embedded in worldwide. So,
listen,
I mean, you don't realize the magnitude of it.
I'm not going to bask in your, like, intellectual superiority just because you read some books by extremists like Michael Moore.
Now we're not getting anywhere. Seth, at this point, when I talk to someone and they start to become defensive and start to become now obscurantist, if someone can't accept what I'm saying, then there's no more point in talking. There really is. It's pointless to talk. Because there are some people who should be listening, and other people are talking. I gave you some information, and you can go with it. You don't have to accept what I said. At this point, I have nothing more to say to you. Nothing more to say. I'm not going to bandy back and forth. I'm not going to bandy back and forth with you. Seth may do that. You can talk to him. I will not talk to you about this any further. I gave you information. You can follow up on it, but I'm not going to talk to you anymore about it.
All I'm trying to tell you is you're not allowing me to accept what you're saying because you're suggesting that I haven't done the proper research. I haven't read these publications by authors.
As I said, I asked you some questions. I'm not going to talk about it any further. You can talk to Seth. I gave you some information in good faith. I'm not going to respond to you. Please, you can talk to Seth. I'm not going to discuss this with you further.
Let me ask you a question, caller, if you don't mind. I'll talk to you because we're going to have to wrap this up anyway. I mean, we literally will be off this show in the next 3-4 minutes. I first of all want to thank you for, again, just hang on the phone, talking as long as you do. I really do value. I hope you listen in the future. We really are trying to really destroy racism. The reason I let y'all talk on this show, I know what y'all were doing. I mean, I'm saying y'all, I don't know if you're with them or not. I'm not going to say y'all because you may not be with them. But the reason why I let the previous callers do what they did is nobody can say I didn't give them a chance. Now, next time they call, they say one thing. If I'm not talking about question A, if I'm talking about subject A and they talking about subject B, it ain't going to even be that long of a conversation. I'm going to say before I even pick up the phone line, please ask the question on point. If it don't, I'm going to go through those calls in less than 15 seconds. So all I'm saying is I thank you for at least staying on topic and at least giving us some back and forth, even though my brother don't go back and forth. I understand his philosophy, how he does things. We're different. I think people can learn from going back and forth. If you don't go back and forth, it looks like somebody's weak. If you stand up, you're standing up for what you believe in, so it's my brother here, both of y'all, my brothers. But I mean,
let me interject. I'm simply looking for perspective. That's all. I may sound combative, but I am genuinely interested in just the perspective of what you're trying to preach, for lack of a better term. I'm an immigrant, so I mean, this whole philosophy is new to me anyway. I've only lived here for like 15 years, so. I don't know. It just seems different from what I'm used to, I suppose.
Well, let me say this. If you really are serious, you're really interested, you will also do something else, and that is listen to any of the shows, archives, on Bible leprosy. Bible leprosy is the foundation. It's the biggest weapon we fire at white supremacy. because it is showing that everything comes from dust-colored, brown-colored people. And it's not something to make black folks start looking crazy at white people and feeling like they're all proud, because we believe that black people, when they shed that black skin, they are white. When a person has vitiligo and they begin to start losing pigmentation, when that pigmentation is gone, they are white. They just as white as white people. So I'm not of the persuasion that white people is somebody different. We all the same. It's just that white supremacy is from Satan. It's this philosophy that is destructive and is destroying the planet worse than anything out there. There is wars cannot touch white supremacists. Guns cannot touch white supremacists. Tanks cannot touch white. Nukes cannot touch white supremacy. This thing is so smooth, black people will do it when there is no white people around. I have dedicated Tuesday nights to dealing with the root core of white supremacy. You and all your followers with those people are more than welcome to come back next Tuesday, as long as we follow the rules. We are dealing with white supremacy. Now, you don't have to agree with me.
Who are my followers? Like, why do you keep saying that?
Well, I don't know if you're with all those people. It's about 200 people showed up in this chat room a minute ago. And I don't know if you were. Maybe you're not. I probably shouldn't keep lumping you. You're a white person, and they was all white. So I apologize. I won't do that.
I don't know if I'm technically a white person. I was born in Cape Town. Does that make me white? I mean, I have a white family, but sure.
Well, maybe not. I'm just saying we got all this flood of calls, and I probably shouldn't lump you in. But listen, I got to wrap this show up, but I want to thank you first and foremost for really listening and standing up for what you believe. I don't care if you don't agree with me. All I want is just you to hear me out, because if you are a true follower, are you a believer, what do you claim spiritually?
You know, man, I am not very spiritual, I have to admit.
Well, that's another thing you can get at this show right here, Five Smooth Stone. We talk a lot about the Most High. We talk a lot about the divine being, the superior one that created all of this. Okay, even if you believe in the Big Bang, he caused the bang. All I'm saying is we believe in a higher source, and we try to encourage our listeners to follow things that give life. Give life. In preaching and practicing racism and white supremacy, you're not giving life. You're taking away. All this beating up on black people, they're the lowest in society. They're struggling the most. And to keep putting these people as the number one problem, if all of us got on welfare, all black people got on welfare, right tomorrow, every single one of us, it still could not touch the budget of white privilege and how much come to white people just based upon their color. How much stuff have been stolen, and then that interest on top of that is interest on top of that. How much wealth have been gotten on the slaves, started the slaves on the backs of slaves, but then just all of this white collar crimes. Man, Madoff made more money than all the rappers combined. Madoff made more money than all the rappers combined. That's just one white man. Bill Gates, you know, let Steve Jobs said, he didn't like everything Bill Gates did. He thinks he's a crook. I'm just saying, man, please. Black people should never be even in the mouth of white people when they're talking about what is wrong with this country. It's just stupid. It's just ludicrous. It's not smart thinking. And no smart white people that are scholars that are out there making money for speaking. Well, I ain't going to say that. That's Russ Limbaugh. I shouldn't say that. But I'm going to say most scholars, I mean, like the Noam Chomskys of the world, the people that are really respected, none of them talk like that. It's dumb. Anybody come on this phone line saying, blaming the rappers, we really think they're ignorant. They sound very ignorant. Mm. I'm glad you didn't do it. But they sound very, very ignorant to us.
Lost.
I mean,
extremism, lost.
Extremism of any form is ignorant.
Thank you.
That's just
Thank
how
you.
It is. So there's no disputing it.
Well, listen, my friend, again, if you're sincere, you really want to know what's going on, please listen to Bible Leprosy. Join us next week. I'll give you the floor, just like I've let this brother talk all the whole while. I'm not running from nobody. I want to know, are we making sense? I love to hear from white people. I ain't so angry I can't hear from y'all. But I will not let you take over the show. And I'm not going to say you. I'm not calling you white. That's right. We're not going to put you in no box. But
hey, man, I was born in Africa, right? I'm special, right? I'm just joking, but I actually was born in Cape Town.
We all come from Africa. So
I know.
Yeah, but listen, guys, I'm going to play this song when I hang up, and I want you to listen to the words of this song. I know y'all probably already heard it before, but it goes along with the show. I got to wrap this up. Listen, brother, I don't know what to say about you to hang on the phone with me all this time. And I know you don't like my style. You probably think I'm weak, but just let
me. No, please. As he said, please don't put words in my mouth. Well, you didn't put words in my mouth. No, I just think that it's I think you were trying to be tolerant, but I just think that you don't have to compromise with ignorance. I think it's the most effective approach to deal with ignorance is to take authority over it. You're not being unfair by taking if a child wants to debate with you by whether they should eat out of the toilet bowl or not. You know, I'm not going to debate and argue with the child. If someone's understanding is deficient, they will actually start to get it if you start taking authority. Because what you're saying, if they don't respect what you're saying, if you don't demonstrate
I'm going to leave the other brother on the line while you come in. But what makes you think I wasn't taking authority?
Well, when you take authority, right, when somebody is wrong and they've demonstrated it to keep repeating yourself, you're not taking authority. When you have to repeat yourself over and over again and somebody's asking you the same question over and over again, you say you move on and try to build on the agenda. You create a clear picture. And if somebody, as I said, I offer somebody, particularly when I'm dealing with adults, I offer somebody books to read and so forth. That's how we came to this knowledge. And if they're willing to do that, it's not just about it's not just intellectual. It's also the mentality.
I think I'm repeating myself.
Let me finish what I'm saying, brother. Let me finish what I'm saying. You know, like as you said, you don't think that, but like I said, I mean, I don't know what your background is, but I have been a teacher. You know, you don't know my background, but I have been a teacher, and I'm just giving you some of my insight. In fact, I have a master's degree in social policy with an education concentration. You know, and I've observed, and as you've observed, if you look on YouTube, many of the very good lecturers, you know, they make a very clear picture about what their topic is, and they leave it at that. And if there are people who divert away from that, like I said, I'll give you some books. But if you're not on the same page, if you're not mentally on the same page, if you're not receptive to it, it's best to move on. Because what happens is that when other people start interjecting their lack of knowledge and their ignorance and making statements that are being portrayed as being equal to the information you're giving, it undermines the level of discourse and it undermines what you're saying.
Let me jump in there real quick. Now, this is what I think I have. Caller, you still there? The other caller?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I want both of y'all to be on the line when I say this. This is what my heart is. There is some time I move in that mode. You just ain't seen it yet. When I say we're going to talk about black self-hate, this is black folk. We're going to talk about black people not loving themselves. I'm not going to divert off that because I got too much to share on that. So anybody calling talking about, hey, why did this black guy call me a nigger? They said, why did this guy throw? I mean, if they call anything crazy, I'm just going to. I know how to hit the release button. Trust me. On that, and then we'll
okay,
be
so
long.
We're in agreement. We're in agreement.
All I'm saying is tonight,
mm-hmm.
tonight, I mm-hmm. want people to hear what these people are saying. Mm-hmm. I already knew they was going to be foolish when I saw 80 people pop up in the chat room at one time. I already
mm-hmm.
knew what was up.
Mm-hmm.
So I want people to hear the kind of hatred, and I want them to see. Watch this. I want them to see the kind of love. Now, if the show is about to be over in 2 minutes. Who won the fight?
Well, I don't think anybody won it.
Did brother Seth not get his points out? No.
I still talk about how to attack white supremacy / black inferiority. I talk about the lack. I've got every point on my page right here. Every one of my notes on my page, I've said, and I've said more than one time. So that was accomplished. That was accomplished. They saw the folly of the callers and how they was running for me.
Right.
That was accomplished. You got your comments out. That was accomplished. The last caller on the line here, he got his points out. He's not still trying to talk. He got his points out. That was accomplished. So what was the chat room all about? All of that, putting all that crazy on the chat room. I didn't even look at it. It didn't mean a hill of beans. So that's the way I roll, man. I slay giants. This is
so let me say something. You keep mentioning, like, I feel like you're indirectly talking to me. You know, if you're a teacher, then enlighten me. Don't appeal to textbooks and suggest that they give you some form of intellectual superiority.
Again, I'm not even going to address that statement.
Let the brother talk.
Yeah.
Let him talk.
Don't address it, okay?
Seth, if someone's talking to me and I really don't want to hear it, I didn't say anything to him. He said he feels like I'm not talking about him at all. I don't have to listen to this. I did not address him. And I don't want to listen to something that I believe is irrational. I mean, no, I'm not going to accept it. If you want me to hang up the phone, I will. But I would prefer he not address any of you because I'm not addressing him. And I'll just very clearly state I was not indirectly talking about him. That's
tell
simple.
You,
I gave him some information, and that's it.
Just tell me if you agree with this. You know, I don't have to spend a considerable portion of my life studying oppression or supremacy to have a legitimate sense about it. Correct?
True.
True. You know, with a textbook
sense, That's true.
I mean, that's why the lines are open. You guys are much more well-versed on this subject than I am. It would be silly to assume that your caller is going to have this high level of knowledge and read these books that you mentioned and immediately dismiss me if I haven't read them. I mean, that's kind of the feeling that I got. Perhaps I misinterpreted. Just suggesting. That's kind of the vibe that was coming over the line.
Well, let me say this. We can wrap this up because I think my brother, you know, Brother Saladin is probably worn out. Listen, I hear what you're saying. I mean, I'm a little different. I think we both, I'm learning a lot about him. He learned a lot about me. He thinks I got all his patience, but I really don't. This is open forum.
I didn't say that.
All I'm saying is it's open forum, which means any conversations, as long as it's got to do with racial, you know, racial matters and solutions, we're talking about. It's just that simple. I got to open up the phone line to somebody say something. They humiliate me or they say something crazy. You know, I'm a first saying, do you mean to say that? Then when they say it again, bam, they get the phone line. They ain't sitting up talking to nobody, no 30 minutes, they're humiliating me. Nobody have talked to me probably over 2 minutes, 3 minutes, if they was disrespecting me. All I'm saying is this. I hear you what you're saying, my friend. You just disagree with us on some levels, and that's fine. I never wanted people to just call and agree with everything I'm saying. I want you to say, if you say I disagree with everything you said, fine. Long as you don't take me off what I'm trying to do, long as when I want to talk, I get a chance to talk and I can still be the moderator, and long as I can end and start the show, I don't care. All I ask is you to join us next week, because next week we're going to hit it again. You know, and next week you might not be able to talk as much as you're talking right now. Next week may be a different form. I may have audio things going on. I may have a guest going on. You might not be able to talk at all. I may not take phone calls. But this is a different form. It's not how it's going to be every week. But I don't know. Maybe next week it may be similar to where you can talk. I don't know what's going to happen. But I really, really feel your heart. I do think you're sincere. Otherwise, you'd have said something stupid and hung up like the rest of them. So I give you points for that. My guest here,
My friend, he called in like you did. I let him stay on the phone. He pretty much guessed. But he's different. See what I mean? Black people are different. He can't stomach you. I'm saying, let me hear you out.
No, please, Seth, when you make comments about, you know, referring to me and my approach, please don't do that. It has nothing to do with not stomaching him. I'm going to make a comment to him, even though I said I was not, because he made a comment. And as I said, I'm going to be very frank. I don't think that, as he said, the level that we're at right now, me and you, sir, or the level of discourse, that if you don't, that you'd have to go through a process to get to where we are. And there's no way to really, unless you have, you're open, your heart and your mind are open to it. There's not any way for you to get there through a conversation over the phone. So if I'm talking at a level of calculus when it relates to something, however you you're talking at a level of basic mathematics, you know, we're not going to be able to communicate unless you either have read certain books and I refer you to it, to a person who's really sincere, because this is not a simple topic. That's what I told you, sir, respecting the topic, the level of discourse. If certain people cannot converse at that level, you're only going to be wasting time trying to. You know, there's certain books.
Let me ask you a question. Now I got a question.
Let me finish what I'm saying, Seth, please. You know, the only thing that a person could do is, I said, certain books, certain institutes, certain organizations. You have to do a lot of research to really understand it, because to deconstruct what has happened to him as a white person, a person in this country, even coming from South Africa. If you say you come from South Africa, then obviously you've had a certain experience, apartheid.
But then,
what we can't do, if
you was running this show, then you should never open up your phone line, because you can't open up a phone line.
No, you can't make that judgment about me.
Hold on, brother.
I just told you I'm a teacher. I mean, how can you make that judgment about me? Judge not
what,
lest
what
you be judged.
Saying,
wait a minute, let me finish. Judge not lest you be judged. I'm very clearly stating that in order to be effective, I'm talking about being effective. You're talking about from your heart, your perception about being nice to people. I'm not being not nice to him. You say you thought I've been not stomaching him. I'm being very firm. I'm being boundaried. I'm having boundaries. You know, I think it would benefit you, Seth, to respect where I'm coming from. Yes, they'll give honor to where honor is due. You're a Christian. You know, you don't know me, but I am a teacher. You know, whether he thinks I'm being offensive or so forth, I can't help what he feels. You know, he's got to come to terms. You know, God gives us a package to deliver to people. You know, it's not for us to decide how we deliver it. You know, you simply deliver the package. I'm giving him, this is a very serious topic. I gave him a background. I'm giving you some background. You know, not all of our information is not equal. You know, the thoughts processes we have are not equal. So you give somebody
something so you can lift them up to the level that you're at. I really see what you're saying. I think I see it now, right now, more than I did earlier. I really am getting what you're saying, but I think with what you're saying, if you was doing this show, you shouldn't open up your phone lines. And that way you can just say, look, I just got these facts. I already know
no.
you're listening. Now, hold on. Let me get this out. If you see 80 people show up in your phone line, in your chat room, and you know what they're doing, they're all ganging up on you, and you know they're here to, and I'm not saying he's with them, I'm not saying the caller's with them,
mm-hmm.
but if what the way you're thinking is, you can't open up the phone lines, and then when somebody starts talking and they disagree with you, you say, you're not on my level.
Hold on.
You can't say you're not on my level,
mm-hmm.
and so let's move on. You gotta, hold on, give me 30 seconds. I'm really wrapping this up, man. I mean, I'm gonna let you have last words, I promise. Just let me get this out.
Okay,
I think the only way I can do what you're saying, I think you have a point. You think I'm not hearing you. I actually am hearing you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking notes. I think you're right. But when I'm in that mode that you're saying, when I just got a lot to share, I don't open up no phone line. Period.
Mm-hmm.
I just share. Like when I'm talking about leprosy, mm-hmm. I can't be talking over the phone line because I already know what everybody's going to say. That's crazy. So
mm-hmm.
I just got to share it at the end. Let them ask questions at the end sometimes. All I'm telling you is I hear what you're saying. But if you do open up that phone line, you got a human being on the other line. No matter how we do sound crazy to them. Hold on one second. We do
sound crazy to them. We do sound racist to them. Mm. If you've been raised all your life filled with white supremacy, and you hear two black guys talking about civilization starting in Africa, we sound like the racist.
I'm going to say this too.
Hold on, one more thing. So all I'm saying is, when you know, I've tried to look at it from their standpoint because they are human beings. I can't reach them if I don't look at things
from
their standpoint.
Well, I'm also, you're completely misinterpreting.
I'm not going to be that long. Just hold on because I'm not going to be that long.
Yes.
You've got to look at it from how they sound. Even though those guys, the guys that hang up, them the ones I can't deal with. But those that say, that they kind of try to hang with me, they just say, this sound crazy. Some of them think we cuckoo and we racist.
Right.
So they feel like, I don't have to respect you. Who are you? You're beneath me. I'm just looking at it from their twisted standpoint. So that's why I got to be nice to them and say, listen, I'm serious. This is what I believe. Am I wrong? Can you correct me? How am I wrong? What is your fact? They should be man and woman enough to say, okay, this is how you're wrong. This is how you are. This is where you get your facts from. That's what I have done to every one of these callers. I have given them the opportunity to correct me. What is your facts? Who are you quoting? So that's all they can say about me. I can't go saying you ain't on my level, y'all ain't straight enough, let's move on. I mean, if they hang up on me or say something stupid,
I'm going to be very frank. Like I said, you know, your agenda is to dialogue with them, and this is a talk show. And my agenda is to dialogue with people who are sincere. And as I said, once I identify that someone is so far gone in terms of their mentality, like this person I just shared with him, like I said, I gave him some information. I think it's pointless to bet any back and forth. Like I said, just the process of learning. As you said, you interpret my behavior, your perception of me is that I'm unconcerned, which is completely wrong. That I'm unempathic, even if you go see a therapist, psychotherapist. Let me say this. Can I finish what I'm saying? You said you're going to let me finish what I'm saying. If a psychotherapist perceives that that person is not receptive to them, they'll tell them to go somewhere else. I think that we waste a lot of energy and time. We waste a lot of energy and time trying to indulge stupidity. And that's completely wrong. You think you're not being nice to people. The Bible talks about, you know, even sparing the rod. I'm not being hard on anybody. If I identify somebody's insincere or that their level of education may seem like I'm condescending, I said take authority. It's not condescending. However you perceive it, that's the case. This is a very serious topic. I'm taking authority. Anybody who's, if you want to raise people up, you don't indulge stupidity and ignorance. Then when there's a time that people should take the cotton out of their mouths and put it in their ears. However you perceive that, I think that what you're doing, I think that you mean well, Seth, but I think that your strategy will be eventually is counterproductive to learning process. They must respect the topic. If they go to any classroom, if they're going to respect the topic, they have to learn. And there will be people. I'm not going to close the phone lines. What I'm saying to you is that if you demonstrate a certain format and a certain pattern of receptivity, that you only receive people who are serious. That's what you're going to get. If you demonstrate, you have that energy, you're going to get people who will respond to that. And until they say, if you're going to come correct, they will come correct. I really do not believe that what you're doing is really teaching anybody anything by indulging people like that, or banding back and forth. It's not about a battle. It's just about getting the information out as quickly as possible because it's a dire situation.
Well, are you suggesting that sincerity is calculated by educational accomplishments? I mean, because that's kind of like how you come off. You know, I mean, if I'm asking you a legitimate question and, you know, the dialogue ends and I'm dismissed simply because I haven't done any background.
Not at all.
I mean,
not at all.
Very dismissive.
Not at all, sir. Not at all. Listen, I think that you are sincere and you really hung in there, and I really care about you. Like I said, I have family members, people who love me who are white. But what I'm saying to you is that when I gave you information and I told you, well, if you want to really learn about it, and this is a very deep topic, if you really want to learn about it, then you can – gave you some information to follow up with, that you could read about it. And then mostly if you want to learn or ask some questions, fine. But I sense also that you were somewhat resistant, that you were somewhat resistant and that you felt that, you know, perhaps that you didn't really weren't really getting it. And if you're not
getting it,
if you
want to
ask me some questions, yes, please, go ahead.
I feel like the only point I was getting at is I feel that some of the authors that you mentioned, specifically like Michael Moore, I don't have a vendetta against Michael Moore. I just simply view him as an extremist. I'd much rather read a much more unbiased text, you know, just like statistics. I'm kind of a math type thinker, which is why I somewhat disagree with you of saying that this is analogous to calculus. I mean, perhaps on some level. But, you know, I'm much more of a let's read the raw statistics. I don't want to hear someone's opinion on this, that, or the other. I want to read the raw statistics. This is how the history happened. Here are the numbers, et cetera. And then I form my opinion based on those numbers or those facts.
Okay.
That's how I live my life.
Okay, guys, I've got two minutes.
This
phone line will cut
completely off in 2 minutes.
Okay, I just say the reason I mentioned Tim Wise and Noam Chomsky, Michael Moore, is because they have more of a populist kind of appeal. But, I mean, if you want to, please, I mean, by all means, there's another book by C. Wright Mills called The Racial Contract. That's a textbook. C. Wright Mills, The Racial Contract, Howard Zinn, The People's History of the United States. Two excellent books, scholarly books. You know, Howard Zinn is world famous, you know, for his activism. C. Wright Mills is world famous as a political scientist. The Racial Contract. Two books that you can read. I'm not trying to condescend to you. I'm trying to raise the level of the discourse because it deserves that. That's all I'm saying. And we want to attract people who are that. And if people are really sincere, they will know that you have the proper mentality. You're receptive. It's not about what you learn. It's about your attitude, your approach to learning. That's really what intelligence is. People can be very well informed, have a lot of information and misinterpret it and apply it completely wrong and be complete idiots. Because they completely misunderstood and misapplied what they learned. You sound like a sincere, caring person. And believe me, like Brother Seth said, right now I love you. I mean that. As I said, my wife is white. There are people who are white whom I love and who love me. So it's not about hating white people. It hurts that, to me, it hurts that we're separated from white people. It hurts me. I mean good white people. Many times most of the people in my life are white. You know, so I don't dislike
naturally, right? Living in America, right?
Well, no, I'm saying personally, most of the people in my life are white. I have white teenagers who